about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Last night I had a nightmare. The dream I had was weird. I turned on the radio and this is what I hear.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. Who's coming down? Let's see who's coming down right now, Ruan. So I didn't mean to. Sorry to take your attention away. I don't know who's... Nobody. Okay. Back to Wants. Sorry, Wants.
You're kidding me. I have to work around that douche nozzle? I hate this goddamn business.
Oh, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Hi.
Douche nozzle.
Yeah, it's the part of the douche that goes into the... Yeah, you know, the nozzle.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And now...
I'm back. Did I miss anything? Hey, there's a monkey in the booth.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody.
Take two.
Let's try that again. Good morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Wednesday, the 5th of March.
Hey, how's it going? What's going on, you guys? It's going well.
Doing your radio voices.
Welcome into a Wednesday morning. A lot of show today. Interesting story to get us started. If you don't mind, out of Texas, Montgomery County, Texas, the Porter Walmart store, where a young lady is arrested for shoplifting, being detained for shoplifting. Her name is Charlene Marie Ellett. She's there. Her brother shows up to look for her because it's unclear in this article whether he was waiting outside for her or if she was just gone so long that he went in looking for her, but found out that she was being held at the store while they were waiting for the police. So apparently the brother and sister, it turns out, go out to the car, and for whatever reason, the police ask if they can search the vehicle. Now, why would you ever consent to let the police search your vehicle?
I don't know, unless you really honestly just think you have nothing to hide.
It just doesn't seem like there's
there's no upside for you, right?
Right, isn't. And you're certainly allowed to say no, right?
If I think if I just bought my car and I'm coming from the dealer, I would say no,
right? I guess some people say it makes you look suspicious if you say no, rather than you're exercising your right to keep the government out of your car if you don't want them in your car.
Right.
But anyway, this moron said, yeah, go ahead and search the car. So inside, of course, they found drugs. They found a backpack with a bag inside of it with a light bulb with burn marks on it and a pen with a crystal substance on it that tested positive for methamphetamines.
Wow.
So it turns out that the brother and the sister were both meth heads, as it was, so they put them in jail. Now, I don't know how it works in Texas. But apparently the jail cells, the holding cells anyway, for arrests are near each other and they don't separate the men and the women. I mean, I think they may have the women in one cell and the men in the other cell, but they can reach each other through the bars.
Okay.
So at some point while the brother and sister are being processed, they realize that the brother and sister are making out between the bars of the cells.
Nope.
It's tongue hockey going on between the cells here.
That does not happen.
One of the deputies,
stepbrother, stepsister, right? They're brother and sister.
It turns out that they are. They share the same mother, but she was adopted, so they do have different fathers, Lisa.
Still
icky by most standards, right?
Yeah.
Well, certainly if you grow up as brother and sister, you pretty much are.
Yeah, same mother, and they grew up together, exactly. So anyway, so they're making out, and so the police say, hey, what about that thing where you said you were brother and sister? And that's what they gave the backstory, the history. It turns out that they had been staying at a motel with her two children, all sleeping in the same bed. She admitted that they have also been involved in a sexual relationship since his release. The brother and sister, since he last got out of prison in November, she explained that the room had a partition and that the children stay on the other side of the partition while she and her brother were having sex. Other times, she and bro would just go into the bathroom to do it.
Oh, my God.
This family has everything.
No,
it does have
my
everything.
God.
So she's been arrested for shoplifting. He's been arrested for drug possession. And now they have also both been fined and charged anyway. Or potentially fine with prohibited sexual conduct, which apparently is a thing in Texas. So
meaning they put the cells close enough, but it's against the law to touch.
No, I just think it's in their case it's prohibited sexual contact because they're brother and sister, because that's a violation.
I thought of all states, Texas would okay that.
you'd think so, right?
Wow.
So anyway, so that's That's good times, right?
Those lucky kids.
That's that's too much.
Please take those children away from this couple, please.
Pronto.
Pronto.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
How dare you talk about something you know literally nothing about.
Oh, that's very true. comedian Billy Connolly will be in the studio.
Yeah.
Legend. Ralph's a little too excited about that.
Now, Kevin, I'm just going to say now.
What?
Because you got some time to... he's over 70.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's not awesome. Doesn't mean he shouldn't be treated with respect.
I didn't say anything. I like
But
Billy
you
Connolly.
Hate old people. You hate all old people.
No, if you want to call him sexy, I sort of bristle at that. But he's a comedian.
So you're cool with him being 70?
Yeah, he's funny.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
I didn't say anything, man. People, man.
Not yet.
You're a bully. Also on today's show, we have Jim Jeffries, comedian Jim Jeffries, who we love so much.
Fantastic.
Talking about legit and some stand-up that he's doing. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have Teemu Selanne from the Anaheim Ducks talking hockey. Mm-hmm. this worries me. This worries me a lot. I got to be honest. We have listener Leah.
Oh, we got her?
Yes.
Awesome.
This is the girl we were, I guess it was Cody Simpson's birthday yesterday, and we said, who's that?
Dancing with the Stars, right?
Right. And we said, who's that? And wow, did she unload. She sent us the best email ever.
Yes.
How dare you indeed.
Well, she was very upset that we did not recognize the greatness of Cody Simpson. I believe she's going to turn us around on him.
That's what you think is going to happen?
I do.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get her just before she heads off to sixth grade, Bean.
All right.
I knew it.
Well, then she knows what the hell she's talking about. Don't get between kids and their idols,
I'll
Kevin.
I'll tell you something. She writes an email like an eighth grader.
She does.
Right?
You're right. It seems
impressed.
Like seventh, but probably eighth grade email. That's true.
I feel like we're going to be schooled and then we're going to realize that we were wrong and she was right.
Can you be nice, Bean?
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm great with kids.
If there's one thing we've learned, it's that you're great with kids. So we will take a break and we'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Dave Grohl is great, but he's no Cody Simpson, right, you guys?
I think we can all agree on that.
Well, Cody's a great example.
He is great. And an athlete.
And an athlete.
Hey, Ralph Garman joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday morning, taking a very first look at the showbiz beat for today. What's happening?
And if Leah is up and listening, good morning, Leah. Don't worry. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. We're excited to learn. We're excited to have her school us.
We're going
to
keep the bad man away from you, Leah. Don't worry about it.
Who's the bad man?
We'll take care of you.
Who do you think is the
bad
man?
I'm on Leah's side.
I want to give a little something for those who get up early, like Leah. You know, we give away tickets to movie screenings and things like that. It usually happens later in the day, and I feel bad for the people who are like us, have to be up early in the morning, get to school or get to work. It's horrible. It's a nightmare. I cry a little bit every morning when my alarm goes off, just a little bit. I roll a couple tears because it's a nightmare to get up this early. So let me reward you by giving away some tickets to the K-Rock Advance screening of the movie Bad Words.
Yeah!
Heartfelt comedy starring Jason Bateman, Catherine Hahn, who I love, Allison Janney is also in it. It's a story of a man who sets out to exact revenge by competing in a spelling bee he lost when he was a child. Now he's going to try to win it as an adult. It's just sad. It's just sad, man.
It's awesome.
Jason Bateman, as I mentioned, stars. If you'd like to see, we're having a special K-Rock screening of Bad Words on March the 12th at the Arclight Hollywood, my favorite place in the world to see a movie. If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers will get a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Bad Words. And if you don't win, don't feel bad, Words, because the movie's in theaters Friday, March the 14th. So you'll be able to check it out just a couple days later. But call in now if you'd like to see it early. Kim Kardashian.
Guilty.
Sorry, who?
Porn star Kim Kardashian. She has to pay a price by going out with Kanye West. Great story in Star Magazine from sources reportedly close to the couple say that he has a series of rules in their relationship that she must follow at all times.
Oh, he's so overbearing. Wouldn't you imagine?
She's not allowed to check her phone unless he says it's okay.
Well, I imagine she's really annoying with that.
I agree.
I approve that.
Yeah. So you just don't date her. That's the answer to that problem. If you're dating Kim Kardashian, who dates anyone and tells them what they can and can't do?
No, that's bad sign number one. It's a red flag right there. You just go, I'm out.
She's not allowed to talk to friends that he might believe are selling stories about her to the tabloids. Mm.
So they don't have to be selling. It's just if he thinks so. Okay.
That relationship is over.
All right.
He approves all pictures before she posts them on any social media outlet.
Wow.
So she's got to run all the pictures past him first before she puts it on Instagram or tweets it out.
Sounding like an abusive relationship at this point.
He claims it's because he wants her to be a fashion icon, and so he's got to approve her image at all times when it goes out there.
A fashion icon like he is?
Exactly. Right. Well, or a creative genius like he is, sure. I'm guessing. I just find that, first of all, reprehensible for a grown person to tell another grown person in a relationship, you can and can't do this.
Right.
I understand you have problems, you have to negotiate, you have to work things out, sure. And everyone has to give a little bit. But you don't just lay down the law and say, you can't do this.
You're like, run every picture by me. Who? F you.
And more importantly, who has time to leave someone else's life as well as their own? It sounds exhausting to me. If my wife said, okay, I'm going to run everything I post on social media past you, I'm like, oh, please, get away from me
yourself.
With that. Go do it. I'm busy over here. Who has the time to run two people's lives?
That's bullshit.
That is, it's craziness. More good news for the Kardashian clan. Apparently, Los Angeles cops say that Khloe and Lamar's mansion in Tarzana, California was broken into.
Okay.
Khloe apparently was in the process of moving out of the mansion. She discovered some expensive stuff was missing. About $250,000 worth of stuff.
Wow.
Wow.
TMZ reports stuff that was taken includes watches, diamonds, gold chains. They think it must have been an inside job because the house, which has a gate around it, also sits inside a gated development as well. So someone must have had access to the home in order to steal that stuff. Here's my favorite part of the story. When the police were called, Khloe started demanding from them lie detector tests and fingerprint tests for anyone and everyone who may have had access to her house at any time.
So wait, she's talking about the police?
She's telling that to the police.
Oh,
that's
I
what
see.
She wants. Get out your lie detector equipment and your CSI team, and we're going to start interviewing everyone who's ever been in this house. They were like,
they're like, we'll get right on that.
Whatever you say, Wookie. Making demands. John Travolta finally has released a statement regarding Adele Dazeemgate, as it's now being called. And by the way, everyone on Twitter saying, oh, I'm so over. Everyone, John Travolta, Adele Dazeem. No, I don't want to know what your John Travolta name is. Beating a dead horse. Shut up. It was funny and it happened Sunday, okay? It's like 48 hours. Relax. Can we all enjoy it for a minute before you start getting all hipster douchebag on us? just relax. It'll be over in a week.
The wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. He released a statement yesterday saying, I've been beating myself up all day. And then I thought, what would Idina Menzel say? She'd say, let it go. Let it go.
See, because that's the song.
She has the song she sang.
Wow.
Idina's incredibly talented. I'm so happy Frozen took him 2 Oscars Sunday night. He released in a written statement that was written by his publicist.
My gay friends say that his manager told him to do it so he wouldn't seem so gay.
Really?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Go out there and butcher her name. They think you're gay.
Like, you don't
say
know
it
musicals.
Wrong.
It'll help, seriously.
The wickedly talented Roger McCarthy. Mm-hmm.
The wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Dean Stockwell. I always liked him. Remember, what was that? Leap. Quantum Leap. He was in?
The Scott
Bakula?
Good show.
Right. Yeah. 78 years old today. Singer Eddie Grant. Oh, yeah. I guarantee you we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue today at some
All right.
point. He's 66 years old. Our buddy Penn Jillette of the legendary Comedy Magic Team at Penn and Teller, 59 years old today. John Frusciante of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's 44. Rome. Singer Rome. That's right. Celebrate birthday. 44.
That's Jim Rome. That's the sports guy.
Oh. Kevin Connolly's 40 years old today. Eva Mendes celebrates her 39th birthday, as does model Nikki Taylor.
Oh, wow.
And little Jake Lloyd. Remember little Anakin Skywalker from the Star
sure.
Wars prequels?
Oh, yeah.
Little tiny Jake Lloyd. 25 now.
Wow. Did he ever do another movie after the Star Wars?
I believe he did. I can't tell you what it is, but I do remember him working again after that.
Pretty short career, though, right?
Not a big career. Not like Adele Dazeem or anything.
You know why?
Couldn't act.
See? That's a drawback. Not always. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Said that twice.
Details on this year's April Foolishness.
Yay!
It's that time. Starting to get a bunch of emails and tweets and Facebook requests. Hey, what's going on, guys? It's March now. What's the deal with that? So we'll have it for you Monday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we think you're going to be very excited. I'm actually very excited right now because of what is about to unfold on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I am not.
For part of April Fool's this, we should have Kevin come out and explain the stars of Adam Sandler movies.
The difference between you and me is I am not.
Now, in Kevin's defense, we do 22 and a half hours a week live radio, and there's no rehearsal, and there's no script, and we're just people talking.
Maybe there
and
needs
we talk-
to be.
Oh, I see. The Sam Rubin defense. It's live.
Yes, that's right. It's live.
I see. Okay, I got you.
So I'm trying to defend Kevin here. So we're talking about a lot of topics, some of which they enter the conversation quickly, and we're just on the spot, and all of a sudden we're just relying on our own brains to keep up, and sometimes some things fall through the cracks. Mm-hmm. And when it does, it's awfully hilarious. And that was the case on yesterday's show.
All right, we'll be right back on the World
we'll be right back. We're going to have to break this down because I'm fascinated.
I'd rather not.
By the process. That the thing you call a brain inside your head goes through when you have one of these moments. It's fascinating to
me. But the thing, Ralph, is that there's no process.
There's got to be.
No, it's just...
That's why we need to take a hard look and deconstruct this moment, because there's got to be some sort of connection how one thing goes to another.
Here's the process. One thing goes to nothingness.
Right.
It all goes away.
But this is a situation where I didn't even put you in the spot and say,
I know.
Quick, Kevin, tell me who that guy is. And you were forced to have to come up with something. You volunteered this.
I made a great joke.
You said, oh, I know that guy. I'm going to add to the conversation with this hilarious piece of information.
I made a great joke in my head. And then when it came out, it wasn't quite so funny.
All right, let's go to the tape. This is yesterday around 7 o'clock. This is Ralph doing the showbiz beat. And is everything set up on the tape, or do we need to say
more? Haven't listened to it yet. Muggs put it in there.
Oh,
all right,
no.
Let's hear how it begins then.
And I've saved the best for last. Billy D. Williams.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Lando Calrissian.
Now right, stop there. Stop there for a moment.
This is me talking about who is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. We're talking about who's going to be performing on Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
And there were a lot of names we did not recognize, so I was happy to find one that we did recognize, which was Billy D. Williams, of course, a star for many years on television and film, probably best known for his work as Lando Calrissian from the Star Wars trilogy.
All right, do I have to continue?
Yes.
All right, so I'm interested in two of the competitors this year.
On Cloud City.
Fantastic.
These people.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly. All right, now that's here's the important
part. This is the beginning. Now this is the beginning.
I was positive about that joke. That joke was going to kill. And there was just dead silence in the room. And then I started thinking, oh, no, what'd I do? So I'll play it again, and then you can listen to it unfold.
Fantastic.
These people.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly. Oh, come on.
Are you talking about Luke Skywalker losing his hand?
Losing his hand?
Oh, Lando. No, what's his name? Billy D. Williams? Oh, never mind.
Go ahead. Please explain.
No. We have time.
No, we don't have time. Go ahead.
No, what are you talking about?
I'll explain to you.
Why does Billy D. Williams have a wooden hand?
Hold on.
It was in a movie with, if I could remember. Oh, sorry. I'm
sorry.
Hold on.
I can't tell what's live and what's not.
This is me.
Okay.
Me waving my hand over here.
All right.
Not a wooden hand, by the way. Just my regular hand. The silence comes from a genuine sense of confusion by what you said.
Yeah, I expected laughter. When I looked in Ralph's face, it wasn't just Kevin's wrong, but... I don't have any idea what he's saying.
We're going from Cloud City and Lando Calrissian to Wooden Hand, and I was completely drew a blank. Bean at least made the reach of, well, I know in that trilogy Luke Skywalker gets his hand chopped off.
I appreciate the help.
And
the
he had a
help.
Fake hand put
I
on.
I should have said yes. That's what I meant.
And so we were desperately, we were trying to be on your side. We were clamoring for any sort of tangential connection of how we could, even if it was a bad joke and we were going to put you in the file, at least we would be able to pull it into the conversation.
But I'm saying you weren't trying to be on my side when you guys said, no, we got plenty of time. Let's figure this out.
Well,
I was not trying to be on my side.
We wanted an explanation.
Oh, yeah, right. But that's not being on my side.
So, Kevin, take me through what's going on in your mind when that silence unfolds.
When that happened, it took me a little while to realize, like, okay, wrong person. But then when Ralph said, no, let's really talk about this, and Bean said we had plenty of time, that's when I realized I didn't know... anything.
Where the reference was coming from.
No, I didn't know anything else. I know the movie I was talking about, couldn't remember the name. I knew Adam Sandler, couldn't remember that name.
Right.
So for me, my
my brain just went completely dark.
So at this point, what we have
and
is...
And now Ralph is going, oh, we got all day. Let's figure it out. And my mind is getting blank.
So you're thinking about a different black guy from an
yes.
Adam Sandler movie. That's
yes.
what you realize at that moment.
But I can't remember Adam Sandler or the movie.
Or the black guy.
Or the black guy.
Or the black guy.
All right. Okay. So this is
or
one
the
of those,
white guy.
This is a Samuel L. Jackson, Lawrence Fishburne moment where you're just like, oh.
I know you'd like it to be that
I got
way.
The wrong black
if
guy.
If I knew Adam Sandler, then that might be the case. But I forgot everyone and everything.
All right, here we go.
We have time.
No, we don't have time. Go ahead.
No, what are you talking about?
I'll explain to you.
Why does Billy Dee Williams have a wooden hand?
He was in a movie with, if I could remember his name, I would tell you, but I can't. Who's the guy that used to have me but has now lost me? A comedian that's not funny and sings every once in a while.
Okay.
Adam Sandler?
Yes.
All right, hold on a second. First of all, good on Those Bean.
Yeah.
Good on Bean for playing that.
Well, I speak Kevin. Bean has had to read my mind for a long time.
Bean should be there on Password or Match Game or $20,000 Pyramid because the series of clues that you gave that he was able to get Adam Sandler from was remarkable.
But I will say
the guy
this.
who used to have me, who doesn't
right.
have me anymore,
right.
he's a comedian. Who's not funny anymore,
right.
and he sometimes sings. Those were the clues.
Those were the clues. In my defense, though, we've had this conversation many times where Adam Sandler, I used to go see everything that he likes.
Right.
I haven't recently.
Well, we usually start with Adam Sandler
right,
in that conversation.
But I couldn't remember Adam Sandler's name. I'm telling you, my mind just goes blank.
All right, so we've got the guy.
I would have said Mr. Rogers. I would have said President Obama. I would have said anybody
All
if
right.
a single name was coming to my head.
So we've got Adam Sandler, but so far on the tape, we haven't connected Billy Dee Williams
no.
and Adam Sandler
right.
yet.
No,
that
have,
association
no, still,
hasn't been made.
We're still confused.
Adam Sandler?
Yes. He was in an Adam Sandler movie. Yeah, wooden hand.
How am I the only one that remembers that?
Okay,
now, by
hold
the way,
on. Now, when you start getting indignant, that's my favorite part. How we are the morons for not remembering Billy Dee Williams in the Adam Sandler movie.
That's my favorite part, too, because I was really upset at you both. I was like, you guys just start trying. Because I still had no idea how wrong I was.
You still believed it was Billy Dee Williams?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. How do you guys not?
You're not thinking of Carl Weathers, are you?
Is it possible I haven't been mistaken?
Are you thinking of Carl Weathers?
I can't say no. By the way, that's just a fat yes.
Wasn't
I don't know.
Wasn't it
it's possible.
Is it Happy Gilmore?
Yeah. Was it Carl Weathers?
Carl Weathers
and Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore who had the wooden hand?
Yes. Carl Weathers. He's on the show? Now, that's me trying to be funny to get out of that bit because I felt like an idiot.
This is Billy Dee Williams.
No?
Hey, Sam Rubin, you know they're not all the same person, right? you get that Lawrence,
oh,
this is Lawrence Fishburne we're talking
no.
about, right?
I'm so happy I didn't say that to him. Yeah, so that's what we have.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Jones.
Yes.
The mind of Kevin Ryder, everybody.
What a, what a dark labyrinthine path it must be from one end of the forest to the other for you.
If I understood what you just said, I would probably agree.
Adam Carolla on the program later on today. Also, our friend Jim Jeffries is going to join us. And Ralph, you'll be happy to know, Mr. Connolly has not canceled yet. He's still scheduled to be here at 9 a.m. Billy Connolly himself.
I might have to cancel before he gets here. I don't know if
Is he a sir or a lord or any of those things?
I don't believe so. I think he's done too many drugs in the past.
Yeah, it could be one of those. Well, I feel like today's show has been nothing but apologizing for yesterday's show. We already had to apologize to the audience for whatever Kevin was trying to tell us yesterday.
Oh, that
about
was
Billy
an apology?
Williams.
That was. Wow, that's weird.
And now, apparently, we have some splaining to do to a young listener named Leah, who joins us on the phone, who took great exception to us not knowing how awesome Cody Simpson was when we were discussing him yesterday joining the new cast of Dancing with the Stars.
Well,
she wrote a very
it.
Strongly worded email to you.
She did. We ruined the news for her.
Wow.
Let me read you the email really quickly. Okay. Dear Kevin, Ralph, and Bean, woke up to the great news that Cody Simpson is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Then you ruined it by saying, who is Cody Simpson? Are you kidding me? Who is Cody Simpson? I have met Cody 9 times and seen him in concert 5 times. He is the greatest pop star in the whole wide world. He's a great example. He's a great athlete, and I have every Build-A-Bear he's come out with. I have all his CDs and book and buy all the magazines he's on. He has perfect hair, perfect smile, perfect body, the perfect voice, and he's the best dancer. He's gorgeous. How dare you? You have angered all the Simpsonizers and angels. Please, Ralph, I love the showbiz news. You are the funniest, but this is just wrong. Please read your facts. Listen to Wish You Were Here. Maybe even play it on the air so everyone will become Simpsonizers. Leah.
Okay. Well, we had a lot of questions for Leah, and we reached out, and we were able to get her on the phone, and I believe she joins us right now. Hi, Leah. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi, Leah. First of all, you need to know we love you, and this, we're not going to be mean to you. Okay, we just want to, we need to be schooled on Cody Simpson. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Great. So you sound like an expert. How long have you been a Cody Simpson fan?
Forever. For about 3 years now.
Oh, wow. Since all the way when you were 9, you started liking his music.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you were really upset listening to the radio yesterday. Tell us what that was like when you heard us discussing him on the radio.
Well, first of all, out of everyone, Bean, you should understand me. I know that you used to like High School Musical.
Right.
Especially Troy Bolton. And I used to like him, too.
She has so much in common with Bean.
All right.
That's unfortunate.
Go on, Leah.
And, I know that he also likes Taylor Swift.
Yes,
he does.
That's right.
Also unfortunate.
Yes.
So what you're saying is I should know how you feel to love so passionately.
Yeah. So how can you not know who Cody Simpson is, but you know about some boat in Kentucky?
By the way, she's got a super valid point.
She does. Bean, of all people, you think would know all about Cody Simpson.
Yeah, Cody just, for whatever reason, has not been on my radar. I'm sorry. Like, I wasn't familiar with him. Now, he's not related to Jessica Simpson, is he, Leah?
No.
He's not.
All right, be an idiot.
Okay, let me ask you about a couple things in your email. First of all, you've seen him 9 times in concert? That's unbelievable. I'm a lot older than you. There's no one I've seen 9 times in concert.
I've met him 9 times, and I've seen him about 5 times in concert.
We can't get anything right, can we, Leah?
Now, you said he's a great example. What do you mean by that?
Well, because he's drug-free, and he isn't the next Justin Bieber.
I see. So he lives a relatively clean life. He's not in the tabloids. He's not involved in any scandals, and that's why he's a great example to young people.
Yeah, and he's really polite.
Okay. That's nice. That's very rare. Yeah.
That is the opposite of Bieber.
You say he's a great athlete. What do you mean by that? That surprised us a little bit, Leah.
Well, by 9 years old, he won championship medals, and he was swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And
So he's a champion swimmer as well as being a pop star.
Yeah, he has 2 gold medals.
That is
all right. Wow. And you also mentioned something about Build-A-Bear, and that really confused us.
Yeah, I have 2 Build-A-Bears, and both of them are signed by him. And one of them is signed by Austin Mahone, Madison Pettis, and Ali Simpson.
Who are any of those people?
How dare you, Ralph? Look it up. Open a blog.
How do you release Build-A-Bears? Isn't that some place where you go and you actually
make stuffed animals?
Yeah.
Well, one of them was Valentine's Day edition, and the other was a koala bear.
Okay, well, why does he build bears?
He doesn't.
All right. Well, explain it to me.
Take it easy, Leah. We're not yelling at you. You don't have to yell at us.
So what's the connection between Cody and the Build-A-Bears?
Well, I guess he just, like,
he puts his name on him or something. It's like some of his merchandise.
Yeah, well, it has like little shirts and like to put on the Build-A-Bears and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
I got you. Is this for a charity thing or something that he does?
Well, I'm not so sure about that. But
okay, all right.
By the way, I would expect Bean to have the Build-A-Bears as well.
Yeah, I would too.
Leah, what's the? We have so many. Again, thank you for coming on with us. We're enjoying talking to you, but we had so many questions about your email yesterday. What's the difference between a Simpsonizer and an angel?
Well, they're both the same because they're just his fan base, but I guess there's 2 names for us. So,
are you more a Simpsonizer or more of an angel?
I'm both.
You're both.
Okay. You're both. All right. How do you think he's going to do on Dancing with the Stars?
He's going to do amazing. He's going to be incredible.
All right. Take it easy. By the way, I've always said that I think singers or anybody else who has choreography in their life has a leg up in this particular competition.
They do really well.
So does he dance a lot in his shows?
Yeah. I already know he's going to win Dancing with the Stars. So.
Oh, he's going to win.
All right. Okay. So we don't have to watch.
Now, Leah, if I'm not mistaken, Cody has already released his autobiography, his life story. He released it last year called Welcome to Paradise, My Journey.
Yeah.
Have you read that book?
I finished it in a day.
Of course you did.
In a day.
Well, he was 16 when he wrote it. How much of a life story could it have been? It was probably a very short book, I'm guessing.
Leah, do you think that you will love Cody Simpson forever, or do you think you will grow out of him in a couple of years?
I think I'll love him forever.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So are you mad at us for the way we talked about him yesterday, or is it okay now? Are you okay with the Kevin and Bean show again?
I think I didn't like your remark calling Justin Bieber, Austin Mahone, and Cody Simpson a douchebag.
Yeah. Okay.
That happened.
I can see why you'd be upset with that.
All right. It sounds like we were unfair. It sounds like Cody Simpson hasn't done anything to deserve that, right?
No.
Okay.
Like, if we remove him from the douchebag list, are we cool?
Yeah, but you have to remove Austin Mahone. At
really? Wow. We have to take him off the list, too?
You're demanding, Leah.
Do you like Austin Mahone, too?
Yeah.
Are you a Mahoniac or whatever they call themselves?
I've met Austin with Cody.
Oh, sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Is there a couple?
Stop it, Kevin.
All right, we're almost out of time here, Leah, and I hate to ask this because it might be a sensitive subject for you, but what about Cody's girlfriend? What about her, this Sports Illustrated swimsuit model? What do you think of them together?
And she's really nice, and I've also met her sister, Bella Hadid.
Uh-huh. So you're okay really with Cody nice. Dating her? You like them as a couple?
Yeah, they're cute.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right.
She approves. Very sporting of you.
She says very well adjusted. A lot of girls would think that, you know, she should be with me and she shouldn't be with the other girl, you know, but it sounds like you're cool with it.
Yeah. As long as Cody's happy, we're happy. Sure.
Oh, that's a nice
wow. That's how we feel as well.
Yeah. Leah, all right, can Cody. I say also before we say goodbye that you're much too young to be listening to our show?
I agree.
Well, my dad listens to it every morning.
Yeah.
I have no choice.
He's a bad, bad man, Leah.
Bad parenting right there.
Parental abuse.
All right. Well, listen, if there's any time you need to set us straight with something that we're talking about on the show, you be sure to get in touch with us, Leah. We always like hearing from you, okay?
Can I be your official Cody Simpson fan?
You know, I was just thinking we should perhaps follow Cody's progress through Dancing with the Stars in the upcoming season. We can check in with you from time to time and get a Cody Simpson update.
Yeah, we can fight like Petros does the Bachelor Report. We can have Leah doing the Dancing with the Stars Report. Let us know how Cody's doing.
I would love to do that.
Okay.
Can I vote no?
No, you can't, mean man.
All right.
Leah, we're going to talk to you soon. Tell your dad thanks for letting you call in, okay?
Okay.
Off to sixth grade with you.
Okay.
Bye now.
A lot of listeners are asking how little Leah, 12-year-old Leah that we just had on, is the most articulate caller we've had on the show in a long time, and she's only 12. I can't explain that. She just was, I guess.
A listener Monica writes, how is that little girl makes more sense and sounds more well-spoken than 99% of your callers?
Yep. And me.
And
well.
Kevin. I don't know. Just gives me hope for the future, I guess. I mean, I've never felt so optimistic, quite frankly.
I like that she called us out individually, too. She knew Bean and what his nonsense is.
Yeah, well, that's international fame right there. Bean's a legendary weirdo.
How dare you? Hey, Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. And our friend Jim Jeffries joins us next hour on the Kevin Bean Show, so don't go away.
Congratulations to Conan O'Brien. He's just been named the host of the 2014 MTV Movie Awards.
The guy used
to host the Tonight Show, Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
I think he gets it, though. He released this statement. After 8 years of intense negotiations, I am honored to announce I am hosting MTV's second most prestigious award show. The show will be aired live April 13th at the Nokia Theater here in Los Angeles. I like Conan a lot.
Right.
And, you know, Kevin Smith will often do this to me when we do the Hollywood Babylon show. I'll be busting somebody's nads about some job that they took or some show or movie they have upcoming, and he'll say to me, all right, what if they come to you and they offer you the same money? Would you take that job? And invariably I always say, yeah.
Not a second.
I mock people, but I'm not an idiot. I'll take the cash.
Right.
But this is one of those rare occasions where if they came to me and said, we'd like you to host the MTV Movie Awards, would you do it? I would say, nah, I'm good. You know why? It's not because it's not prestigious or the money's not good or whatever, but I couldn't take the constant screaming and no one listening to me while I was doing my job.
Well, there is that.
I would think that would be so frustrating, especially for a comedian like Conan O'Brien. He's going to be up there doing jokes and trying to keep the show moving and reading cue cards, and it's going to be, woo! All those MTV shows just have constant cacophony of squeals going on throughout the entire production.
And it's... maybe the most pointless entertainment award there is, too, by the way.
Ooh, I don't know. People's Choice still holds a special place in my heart.
There's no prestige whatsoever in winning an MTV Movie Award, though.
But it's shaped like popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about when I saw this announcement, Ralph, I thought, man, Conan, yeah, used to host The Tonight Show, used to be at least in the conversation of late night talk show hosts. With all the transition going on with Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon and everything recently, you never even heard Conan's name come up as even still being on the air. I mean, yeah, that show is just buried.
It's true. And it's unfortunate because he's a talent.
He's very talented, absolutely.
While we're talking about late night talk show hosts, Arsenio Hall tonight is going to turn over his entire show to Prince.
What?
Oh, wow.
Prince is sort of coming back these days.
He is,
but he's relevant again.
You turn it over, you mean he's going to be the host of it?
He's going to host the show, perform on the show. Just go. It's your show now, Prince. Do what you want with it.
He is not, until he's performing, he is not a high-energy person.
Did you see him on New Girl?
Yeah, I did.
He was great on New Girl.
He was, but super low-key. I mean, that's
just hilarious. I mean, I was surprised at what a good performance he gave as himself, but still.
Yeah.
There's no word on what officially he's going to be doing on Arsenio, but Arsenio promises it's going to be classic and you're not going to want to miss it.
This is exactly the type of stunt, though, that Arsenio needs to get people to check out his show for the first time, maybe.
Yeah. And more TV news. It's been announced that Mila Kunis will be guest starring in an upcoming episode of Two and a Half Men. How'd they get her?
Wow. Man. That is a good question.
How did that happen?
Huh. I wonder if there's anyone on the show that
don't
maybe
be ridiculous.
She's marrying.
She will be joining her fiance Ashton Kutcher as a young, beautiful, free-spirited world traveler who shows up on the doorstep of the guys who live in the Two and a Half Men house.
All right.
And there's no half man, by the way. Just for
Still called Two and a Half Men, though?
Honesty in advertising. Still Two and a Half Men, but I don't think there's any half man anymore.
I think they fired him, right?
It's just two men.
One is one of them fat?
Not anymore.
Okay,
not
so can't count for one and a half?
The half right. One's gone. Hmm. They're both good-looking guys.
All right.
And this is very cool. Jared Leto, hot off his Oscar win on Sunday, is hitting the road this summer with 30 Seconds to Mars. He really seems dedicated to this band, despite his
he's proven that.
Regenerated showbiz and acting fame. He's co-headlining a tour with Linkin Park. They're calling it the Carnivores Tour. With AFI opening all the shows.
Wow.
That's quite a lineup.
That's great.
AFI, Linkin Park, and 30 Seconds. 25 dates run. Begin August the 8th in West Palm Beach, and then wraps up on the 19th of September in Concord, California. There's a September 15th date scheduled for here in town at the Hollywood Bowl, if you want to check that out. So, and in more music news, U2 is the subject of a new exhibit at the Little Museum of Dublin, which, as you can imagine, is in Dublin, Ireland. But this is a very unique exhibit, and I love the way they've done this. As you know, U2 are gods among men in Dublin.
Sure.
So what they've done is they've opened up the museum, and they've asked the fans of the band to put together exhibits tracing the band from its origins back in 1976 all the way through today. So fans are showing up with their U2 stuff. Maybe it's photos, a rare photo of them performing early in the 70s when they're performing in Dublin. Drumsticks, guitars, a life-size sculpture that one of the fans did of Bono as Mephisto in his character. And the museum creator says more fans are coming in every day with something to contribute to the collection. So when you go through the exhibit at the museum, it's going to be a detailed exploration of the entire history of the band provided by the fans of the band.
That's cool.
That's a very cool idea. So you can check that out next time you're in Dublin.
Okay. I'll make a note.
I'm going to be there this summer. I'll be there.
Are you really?
Yeah. Oh. So I'll check it out, and I'll let you guys know what I think.
Please do.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Eddie Grant is 66 years old today. Oh, no. We're going to rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Oh, Eddie. How much pot is he smoking today? All celebrating his birthday. Penn Jillette is 59 years old. Guitarist John Frusciante of Red Hot Chili Peppers is 44. Singer Rome, often with Sublime, is 44. Actor Kevin Connolly is 40. Eva Mendes is 39. Nikki Taylor is also 39. Actor Jake Lloyd, little Anakin from the Star Wars prequels, 25 years old today. But Craig and Charlie Reed.
Oh, Craig and Charlie Reed.
Craig and Charlie Reed.
I love them.
Of a band called The Proclaimers. They had a huge hit back in the day, do you remember? They were walking 500 miles. They were. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more. Just to be a man who walked 1,000 miles, who fall down at your door. I wonder if Billy Connolly knows The Proclaimers. Scotland's a small place. They all got to know each other,
everybody, right?
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Golden Voice and K-Rock present Coachella 2014. More three-day passes for you at 9 o'clock this morning.
That sounds like a pretty good deal.
It's a great deal.
And at 5 p.m. as well, 9 and 5 every day this week, and every day, I think, all the weekdays leading up to the Coachella Festival, which is a little over a month away, so get those details at krock.com. Jim Jefferies is going to be joining us in about 30 minutes. Billy Connolly on the program later on today, also Tamu Solani and Adam Carolla, so a lot of shows still to come. This Robin Thicke, you got to give it up for him. He, you know, a lot of guys in his position, being a super successful, famous, rich singer, would go, well, too bad that marriage didn't work out, but that's okay because I'm single and I'm playing the field.
Sure. Yeah, he's got so many people that would be willing to step up and take next.
Absolutely. Now, his wife, Paula Patton, though, is pretty special, pretty exceptional.
I don't know anything
woman.
About her. What's she?
She's a gorgeous, gorgeous actress. Wasn't she in the, I don't have it in front of me, wasn't she in the Mission Impossible movie? I think she might have been. But
I don't know who she is either.
You'd recognize her if you saw her. She's gorgeous. But anyway, so they broke up. And rather than just, you know, say, oh, well, didn't work out, on to the next one, he is doing everything he can, man. He has put on a full court press to try to win her back and win her back publicly. And this kind of got us thinking about the lengths that which people will go to get back together with somebody once they've broken up. You know, this is the deal where you send, you know, 1,000 roses to somebody. I mean, you're doing everything you can, the largest possible gestures to say, hey, give me another shot.
I can't imagine. For the most part, I'm sure there are exceptions, but I can't imagine for the most part that works. Don't you get the idea, like, look, they left you for a reason.
Yeah.
Generally,
so
yeah.
Sending 1,000 flowers or doing something public isn't really going to change that.
No, unless you change whatever it is.
That broke you up.
Crazy.
Yeah. That broke you up.
Yeah.
Now, Robin Thicke, of course, the first reports I heard of any kind of trouble, and he's been married to Paula Patton for some time, but the first reports I heard were that she was upset over the Miley Cyrus twerking dance at the Grammys, okay? And I thought,
what?
I hope that's not true, because that was just show business. They're just performers up there on a stage doing a thing. You can't be married to someone like Robin Thicke who's going to be involved in onstage stuff like that and have such a thin skin. Well, I thought, that's crazy.
I agree with you, but wasn't that 99% Miley Cyrus, too?
It was. But the reports were, and who knows, you know, it's tabloids, but the reports were that she was really upset. She thought that it reflected poorly on her and their marriage and that he should not have participated and blah, 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 blah. So if that's all there was, then I would just say she crazy. But then you saw more and more stories and pictures coming out of Robin Thicke out with just, it looked like all kind. And I know everybody sees him and wants to take a picture, but I mean, there were literally pictures of him like with his hand on a girl's ass and stuff like that while they were taking pictures. And it just, I don't know. She was sitting at home going, this does not make me feel good about our marriage.
No.
So she broke up with him. So she left him. And apparently he is just, you know, just doing everything he can to try to win her back. It's like every night he's on stage, he's got something else to say to her and some other song to sing for her. And basically he's just hoping that eventually the word will trickle to her that he's serious about this.
That's weird. All right, we have a clip of Robin Thicke.
Okay.
And then we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. The lengths you went to get somebody back. You screwed
or
it up
or somebody
somehow.
Went to get you back.
Oh, yeah, either way. Either way. Here's Robin Thicke on stage.
So those of you who don't know, my wife and I got separated a few days ago.
Half the crowd's like, woo!
Yeah, what's that about, by the way?
It's girls that want us to take her place.
Yeah, but you know, I want everybody to hear know that I'm trying to get my girl back. She's a good woman, you know. It's hard to say it in front of everybody. But you know what I want y'all to help me with? I want y'all to help me with this next song. Because I want to dedicate this song to her.
Anyone into blurred lines?
I wrote this about her. And I need y'all help to get me through it. Let's do it.
So he's singing songs that he wrote about her, and he's also been singing and dedicating Let's Stay Together, the Al Green classic, to Paula Patton. Let's find out if that works. I mean, who knows? Maybe eventually she'll be worn down by seeing how publicly he's declaring his love for her. Maybe then he'll give her another, you know, she'll give him another shot. I don't know.
I don't know. The whole public part of it.
That bugs me.
It bugs me, too. It feels a little too commercial.
Like meaning what? Like, meaning it can't be sincere because it's being said out loud in public?
It can be sincere, but there's also an added element to it of getting everybody on his side, and he's got sympathy, and I don't know. I just think this is a private issue.
All right, let me ask you this, though.
Privately.
And John, you hang on. We're going to go right to you, and we're going to take calls on the links that folks have gone to get back together with somebody. We'll want your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I don't know any of the details of this, but what if she's not accepting any calls or notes or anything from him privately, and the only way he can get a message to her is through the media?
Well, it's not much of a message, and she already knows.
That's sort of...
He should keep trying.
That's personally. That's sort of weak to me. It seems like in private, if you can't get through, you're not getting through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So you're a quitter.
I'm a quitter if somebody is telling me with everything they possibly can to quit.
All right, let's see what John's got to say. He's on line two at 1-800-520-1067. The crazy lengths people have gone to get back together with somebody. John, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me, Kevin Bean, Lisa. How are you all?
Good.
What happened?
Okay, so back when my current girlfriend and I first met, she was dating someone in Australia, very long distance. And they broke up, and so he started texting her and calling her nonstop. And eventually, about 3 days after they broke up, he bought her a ticket out to Australia to work on it. He wanted her to fly out there, and he also paid for her traveler's insurance.
Wow, that's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was about $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 altogether.
Wow. Did she go and just not see him?
No, she didn't. She didn't go.
Oh.
No.
So did he just eat that ticket, or was he able to get his money back?
No, it was in her name, so he wasn't able to get it back. And we were actually thinking about using it to go to like Florida or something. but it expired.
Was that a little bit weird for you, by the way, when you're dating this girl and she's got her ex-boyfriend calling her all the time?
No, this might sound corny, but I'm one of those people where if I can trust the person I'm with, so I know that she wasn't really into him anymore, and he's in Australia, so it's not like he's going to do anything.
Right, gotcha.
I was fairly confident with my position and where she was and that he was kind of being crazy.
So bought her a plane ticket to Australia and did not work.
Right.
Okay. 0-1.
Okay. Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it. Melanie, you hang on. Evan as well. Anna, and your calls too. The crazy lengths people went to get back together with somebody. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Robin Thicke, the Blurred Lines guy, has been going on stage every night at his concerts moaning about how he wants his wife back. And we don't know whether that's going to work or not, but it kind of got us on the topic of things that you tried to do to win somebody back. The more public and the more humiliating, the more expensive, the better for us. But we're taking your calls on the topic.
Did it work or not is important.
Exactly, yeah. I got an email from Edmund, for instance. He said he sent a plane ticket to his ex-girlfriend, recently broken up in San Francisco, to where he was in Los Angeles. She took advantage of the ticket, flew down to Southern California, did not contact him the whole time she was down there. Then he was part of a mass text that he got as she was leaving saying, sorry, I couldn't see anyone. Everyone, maybe next time.
So part of a mass text. Not even a single one. That's great.
Didn't work out for him. No. Let's go to Melanie on line one. Thank you so much for holding, Melanie. We appreciate that. What's the story? What happened?
So, first of all, hi, Kevin. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Morning.
So, when I was a senior in high school, I was dating this guy for a few months. And he pulled the We Need to Talk line and tried to take everything back. So, I broke up with him.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, this was right before Valentine's Day. So, he still gave me my Valentine's gift, which was kind of awkward. But after that, he tried to reenact a movie scene from Love Actually. I don't know if you're familiar with the Christmas Carol and pulling the card, showing the Keira Knightley character how much, you know, he loves her and how he can't be with her and
right. All
that kind of stuff. So I'm sitting there on my porch and he's playing music and, you know, flipping cards and it's just so awkward. He's trying to get me back. And then this was my senior year, right before graduation. So he's trying to do everything to try and get me back
right. With
him and try to stay, because I was going to college, you know, over 400 miles away. So, and then he would send me flowers all the time. And it was just an awkward 6 months.
So at some point you were over it though. So none of it was going to work. He wasn't going to change your mind. You'd made it up, right?
Exactly. And he was just trying all this stuff, and I kept saying no, and he just would not let it go.
Yeah. Just let it go. That's what I say.
That's what Kevin always says. All right, Melanie, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Jerry. He's got a humiliating and hilarious story. He's on line two, and he's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jerry.
This is Santa Monica.
Nice try.
Yeah. He didn't quite have the gusto, though, no. that our real guy, Sam, has. Sorry about that.
That was sort of weak. That was a little sad.
Yeah.
I think so, too. All right. Let's go to Anna. She's up next. She's on line three.
Hi, Anna.
So the worst thing my boyfriend actually did to try to get me back is get a DUI on purpose.
He got a DUI on purpose?
Yes. Like, that was one of the main problems with us. Like, he was always drinking and going out, and he knew that was, like, I was always so paranoid about that, and I told him so many times I wouldn't want to see him in that position.
Right.
So, what he basically did, I mean, I was already, my mind was set. Like, I was like, I'm going to move on. I could do so much better than this. And he calls me. He's like, oh, I'm going to go out, knowing that it was going to worry me. And I was like, no, like, don't go out. If you do, you know, just at least don't drive, you know, have somebody drive you.
Oh, so that's I'm going to hurt myself and maybe you'll feel sorry for me move.
Yeah, and it worked.
It worked!
Yes.
He got to get back together with him?
He got a DUI!
Yes.
On purpose!
So he even tells me, like, right out, hey, I have to pay for this, I have to pay for that. But, hey, I got you back.
Anna, why did you go back to him? The guy's a moron.
I know, I don't know. So the thing is, I guess because the main problem was the drinking. So I guess he kind of did learn the hard way regardless that, you know, drinking is like, you know, you can't drink. I'm not saying like Valentine's, we had a couple of drinks, but, you know, we took a cab back home.
Right.
And, you know, there's a way to do it responsibly. And
your boyfriend got you back by getting a DUI.
Yes.
That's on you. That is bad on you.
You deserve whatever bad things happen to you in the future. All right, Anna, thank you for the call. Wow, we got some great ones here. We're almost out of time. Let's go to Ashley. Anyone who goes the tattoo route is really going for it. That's serious, right?
Hey, Ashley.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Okay, so I'm an amateur artist. I was dating this guy for 2 years. In the past, the last 6 months, he was getting, like, emotionally abusive and cheating, so I dumped him.
Uh-huh.
And recently, he got a tattoo, a half sleeve of one of my art pieces.
Wow.
Wow.
And you had already dumped him because he was being abusive.
Yes, and I had already dumped him, like, a year prior.
Year earlier.
So did it make any kind of impact whatsoever? Did you look at that and kind of rethink your choice or no?
No. I was very uncomfortable. I said, oh, my goodness, what are you doing? Because he had tried and, you know, talked me back into it. And, of course, I was like, no.
Yeah.
Wow. So too much drama.
He thought getting this tattoo, you know, so now he's kind of stuck with it.
Yeah, so you probably thought, wow, you're dumber than I thought.
Exactly.
I really did make the right decision. All right. Thank you for calling, Ashley.
Everything is coming up. Jim Jeffries right now, legit returned to great ratings last Wednesday night on FXX. Season 2 is underway. Episode number 2 for the season is going to be airing tonight at 10 o'clock. And Jim is going to be coming to town, too, on March 29th at Club Nokia. Tickets are available on sale now. Jim Jeffries, one of the great stand-ups in the world today. Hey, Jim, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. This is twice in 2 weeks. This is the rest.
I know. Well, we had you in last week ahead of Legit coming back, and then when we saw how awesome it was, we wanted to talk to you again. I mean, I never, ever, ever wanted to see you masturbating in a shower. That is not an image I wanted.
I have to agree.
Wait, is that why we're calling him back?
Yes, to say stop it.
I'm not allowed to do it in studio anymore.
No, not in studio.
It's weird. My brother rang me from Australia, and he said that was the most disturbing thing for my nieces to see.
Oh,
I didn't think about that either.
Look, you've done some acting in your life. You're not an amateur, but still, you're really putting yourself out there. What's it like to shoot a scene like that?
It was cold. The house that we had didn't have any hot water, so that was cold water that I was using in that scene.
Oh, wow.
And so there was shrinkage and it was just all men in the room. So it wasn't, you know, it's like when people say that filming porn is very technical.
Right.
Filming a masturbation scene is even more so.
I don't know, but you're a method actor, right? I mean, you have to do the real thing.
Well, That's a scene from my actual life, I think. You know, I did once get a phone wet trying to do that.
Oh, you, is that right?
I'm not surprised to hear that. And the beautiful thing is think of all the thousands of hours of rehearsal you put in your regular life just to be ready to shoot that scene.
I know, but then there's the thing when it actually happens, it's like playing drunk is very hard. Orgasming on film is very difficult.
Sure.
You mustn't look your best in that moment. I know women look very sexy when they orgasm, but I always look like a stroke's about to happen.
Yeah. I have to take your word for that. I've never actually seen a woman orgasm, so I don't know. But we had DJ Qualls in here last week, of course, who plays Billy on your show, who we love. He's always so much fun. And he was telling us of the crisis that he went through filming a later episode for the season of Legit because he didn't want to use his real O-face. He said he wanted to make it look convincing, but he wasn't willing to give up his real O-face, and he was having so much trouble trying to figure out how to do that.
Oh, with DJ Qualls, it's very hard for him to do any face with all the Botox these days.
Which episode is tonight, Jim, of Legit?
Tonight is I do a stand-up routine for all the disabled people at the home, and one of them dies. I think I can.
That's right. That's right. While you're doing the stand-up. By the way, he's doing it for, like, a charity gig. He's really giving back.
Yeah, I'm doing a charity gig. One of them dies, and so we go to a disabled funeral, and I meet a nice girl there. And it's a very interesting story. This episode, though, watch it till the very end. Something happens at the end. You've got to watch the whole thing.
All right.
Okay, that's a good tip. Now, speaking of stand-up, how long is this run that you're out on right now that's bringing you to the Club Nokia on March 29th?
I started about 3 weeks ago. I'm on the road right now. I'm out to New Orleans on Friday and something else on Saturday.
Oh, nice that you're in New Orleans for Mardi Gras week. That's awesome.
No, I think it ends last Sunday. I think it ended last Sunday. It might not be. I don't know. I've never been to New Orleans.
It's always a good time, but I'm not sure that you're the guy for it.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. Well, I've got a show in Dallas the next night, so that maybe that one, we should scratch that one.
So Club Nokia, which is a great place for Jim Jefferies fans to come see you, and it's been a while since you played around here, so we're going to see a bunch of new stuff this time around, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I think I was there last year, about a year ago to the day. And I'm getting ready to. Oh, sorry.
Hey, don't yawn, man.
You just woke me up. You know what's lucky? When I was asleep, okay, you guys just woke me up. I was sleeping, and I had a dream that the next episode of Legit guest starred Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
Right.
And,
all right.
And it was very vivid. And if you rang me up like 30 seconds earlier, I was about to go, yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio was great to work with.
Why don't you just float that out there? How do people know?
I was thinking that my show was like True Detectives. We got really big stars on for like one episode. Anyway, so lucky we didn't do that. I'm going to bring out a new special soon. I'm recording a new special in Boston in the next 2 months, and you know this will sort of be all the material that's going to be
fantastic.
On the new special.
Well, Kevin and I can vouch for Jim because we've been lucky enough to see him several times, and people howl at a Jim Jefferies show. I mean, people really just can't believe the stuff that's coming out of your mouth. And just when you think you've reached...
There's also a lot of anger in the room.
There is some.
Yes, we noticed that as well. There are people who just don't think whatever you're saying is appropriate for any age. We love that, too. So I want to give out the information again because you must see Jim Jefferies live. You think he's handsome on TV. Wait till you see this sucker in person. March 29th. At Club Nokia. Doors open at 6:30. Show is at 7:30. You can buy your tickets at AXS.com. That's AXS.com. AXS.com. 18 and over, please. And we're going to give away a couple of pair right now to Kevin and Bean listeners who happen to be enjoying the program at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10, 11, and 12. You win tickets to see Jim Jefferies live at the Club Nokia. Very excited about FXX. Very excited about Legit back. Episode number 2 of season number 2 is tonight, Jim. We can't wait to see it, man. It's always great to talk to you. Go back to sleep, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Thanks for having me.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
The Finnish Flash Olympian Teemu Selanne joins us right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Billy Connolly at 9, by the way. So a lot of good stuff still coming up. And Adam Carolla we're going to squeeze in between as well.
I'm so nervous.
Right now, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm so nervous.
You're not nervous. You meet lots of people all the time.
This is very different. I have been a fan of the Big Yin since early 80s.
Bean, you know what this was like. We were on the field at the Dodger Stadium. Who was the player that you loved for the Giants at the time?
That was Will Clark, I think.
Will Clark.
And was my favorite baseball player at the time. I was pretty nervous.
He's like, I can't say hi. And we literally could have. And I was like, go say hi
but
to
him. I think I would be fine with a situation like that. We were very new to the job back then. Now we're kind of used to meeting
you
people.
You were scared.
I was a scared back then. I don't think I would be now. I'm surprised Ralph is now.
It's very different meeting, you know, one of the stars of Supernatural or something versus someone you've worshipped since for 30 years.
Sure. Agreed.
No, I get that. Look,
get it, obviously.
I do because I've met people like Weird Al and people like that and Regis and people that I've admired my entire life.
These are all dumb people.
But those are my people. Those are the people that I worship.
Is a genius, not the dumb people you like.
Excuse me, Weird Al is the best person in the world, and I held it together when I met him. You're going to be fine, Ralph. And you know Mr. Connolly is going to be nice.
I hope he comes in and just tears you apart. That would be awesome.
I would accept it. I would just sublimate to his genius. Say, yes, you're right. I'm nothing. You are everything. I just spit on me.
More, please, sir.
Remember how disappointed I was when we met George Carlin? Remember when George Carlin came in? And he was either having a bad day or he was just...
It was a little bit surly that morning.
He would, in between interview spots on the commercials, he would raise his newspaper,
yep,
put it in front of his face, and not engage any of us. Not look us in the eye. And I brought in Brain Droppings, his book, to be autographed. That's a huge Carlin fan. I'm kind of a comedy groupie. You know, there's certain comedians that I just, you know, live and die for. And Carlin, of course, is one of the greats. And I brought in the book to have him sign it. And I said, oh, I loved the book. I thought it was great. He opened the book while I was talking, wrote his name in the book, closed the book, handed it back to me.
Wow.
Didn't say anything?
Didn't say, what's your name? Who should I make it out to? Thanks for reading the book. Thanks for buying the book. Zippo. I just got, I got the signature. And he did it dutifully, but just
that's
on your way.
Disappointing.
On your bike, as they say in the UK.
Part of the problem, though, can occasionally be that the time of the morning we do the show is not the time for these people.
And I predicated it with, I don't know whether it was a bad day or it was an early morning or he had a bad night or he had a fight with his wife over breakfast. Who knows what puts somebody in a bad mood? I always like to give him the benefit of the doubt. I just remember personally being very disappointed by that interaction. So I'm hoping I'm guessing Billy will not be the case.
I hope he walks in with a newspaper in front of his face reading.
He seems like a pretty jovial fellow. So he does, yeah. I'm thinking we're going to have a good time.
Now, Ralph, do you think there are a lot of people, and I know we're hijacking your segment here, but
talk about him all day long.
Are there a lot of people out there who have had a George Carlin-type experience when they finally get to meet the great Ralph Garman, whom they've admired for many years?
Boy, I sure hope not.
Do you ever think about that?
And if that's ever the case, I'd love you to contact me or call, because I really, genuinely try to go out of my way every time I meet someone who's familiar with either the work on the radio show or Joe Schmo or Hollywood Babylon, whatever it is that they've seen, and they come up and they mention something. I really try to be as genuinely appreciative and as nice to them as I possibly can.
Yeah,
nice to
you me. Do the best you can.
So I'm hoping,
nice to me.
I'm hoping that's
email?
Never the case.
Should I tweet? How do I get back to you?
Look at you, though. These nice people who watch what I do and support what I do, and then there's you just being all over Eunice with all the you. With that behavior, just behaving like a monkey, just tapping at buttons like you're looking for trail mix to come down the chute.
A monkey would turn your mic on and
off?
Yeah,
that's exactly what they do.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. All right, let's talk showbiz news, shall we? Chris Evans, of course, Captain America, Human Torch, star of Avengers and Avengers 2.
Captain America looks great.
Yeah, Winter Soldier looks awesome. He is, he's announced that he is a little fatigued. Going to take a break from acting after finishing up Avengers 2, The Age of Ultron, that he's currently filming. Once that's over, he said he doesn't know when he'll be back. So I'd like to let Hollywood know I will take all of Chris Evans' roles. Now that there's an opening, apparently you have a vacancy. I would like to volunteer my services to take over all of his roles.
It seems like the fear of not having a job in the future keeps a lot of people from making that move.
But I suppose once you're Captain America,
yeah,
that fear probably dissipates.
Probably.
Because they will probably be making those movies for a long time, and you can do them as long as you see fit. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. could make Iron Man to the grave if he wanted to,
right? That's true.
Once you have a franchise like that, you're pretty much in pretty good shape. Saw Chris Evans at the Oscars on Sunday. Ellen DeGeneres, while she was hosting, do you remember she was asking for a tip
right.
for the pizza guy? And Lupita Nyong'o opened up her purse, and all she had was her lip balm.
Right.
She donated her lip balm.
She took her lip balm.
Yeah. And Ellen took it. She said, okay, I'll take that. Well, apparently America went crazy, demanding to know what kind of lip balm Lupita Nyong'o uses.
Oh, my God.
She did have lovely lips.
She does have great lips. Clarence HydraQuench, it's called. InStyle.com got to the bottom of the mystery.
Oh, thank God.
Once it was announced what kind of lip balm she used, it sold out at Clarence chain stores all over the country overnight. You cannot get it any longer.
Wow.
You cannot get it.
So celebrity endorsements work.
You think? America was dying to know what lip balm she used and then insisted on owning it once it was announced. Who's sitting around saying, oh, I gotta know what kind of lip balm the stars use? My lips are so chapped, but I can't make a decision until I hear from Lupita Nyong'o. Chapstick isn't going to work for me. I need to know what balm she uses.
He pulled out her chapstick and everybody was like, oh my God!
At $24 a tube, by the way.
Is that how much it is?
Dude,
wow.
It's not cheap balm.
Wow.
But America fell in love with it and now you can't buy it anywhere.
My lips aren't worth that.
I'll tell you, between Pharrell's hat and Lupita's lip balm, I was like, come on, people, make up your own minds about something, will you? Don't wait for somebody to tell you what to do. You'll be wearing goofy hats with wet lips.
Right. That's the name of my autobiography.
Goofy hats and wet lips?
Yep.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Dean Stockwell is 78 years old today. All morning long, I was announcing Rome's birthday, saying that he was 44 years old. Thanks for the correction, many, many listeners. Rome, this particular Rome, is an R&B singer who had one hit in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why he's 44. I thought Rome wasn't quite 44.
He's
Rome
not aging. He should not have made that list then.
No, he should not. So who do we blame for that? I can't think of who we could blame for putting that name on the list.
Dave, the King of Mexico.
You think maybe Dave had something to do with that?
Yeah. Not my fault!
Uh-huh. Okay. Kevin Connolly of Entourage fame is 40. Eva Mendez is 39. Nikki Taylor, also 39. Jake Lloyd, little Anakin Skywalker from the Star Wars prequels, is 25. John Frusciante, formerly of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is 44 years old. Penn Jillette turns 59. And Craig and Charlie Reed, the Proclaimers, celebrate their birthdays today. The twins were the Proclaimers. And we'd walk 500 more just to be the man that walked 1,000 miles in folder at your door.
Okay.
Why didn't they just start running 1,000 miles?
Because you got to go 500 out and then 500 back because
back
your
home.
Girlfriend lives here in town.
I got you.
So if you run 1,000 miles, you'd be 1,000 miles away from your girlfriend. How are you going to fall down at her door?
I may not have listened to all the lyrics
of that particular song.
You
understand that whatsoever.
Agreed.
I love the Proclaimers.
That song blows, though.
How dare you?
It really does.
It's mother effing some. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are in no way Timo Solani, by the way, who we were expecting to talk to here.
I'm not, no.
You're not the Finnish Flash at all.
I'm not that at all, no.
All right, we're still looking for our favorite duck. Hopefully we'll get him on the air here in a couple minutes. Adam Carolla in a few as well, as well as comedian Billy Connolly coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. First, though, the Kevin Bean Afro line is on the air for you like we do at 323-520-AFRO. I think, by the way, it was Jimmy Kimmel who came up with the name the Afro line.
That's
and
right.
Got us that phone number. It's our voicemail. You call, leave a message. We play it back on the radio. What's going on today?
Be more specific.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Again, about what, sir?
People love the Lisa.
Hey, Lisa, you're the only one that's cool. So what do you say you let me toast to your strudel, baby? You know what I'm saying?
That sounds kind of yummy. Toast to my strudel. I like it.
People love the Lisa.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know, Lisa Lurk will not be making an invitation today, but I got her covered. We got Judy Starbuck coming in, so we will be good.
We found out a few days ago that Lisa used several different names to do traffic on various Los Angeles radio stations back in the early days of her career. And some of us remember people like Judy Starbuck had no idea it was Lisa.
I know.
Sure, sure. Don't stop till the panties drop. Ah, Lisa May.
That That's my day.
It is. Providing a service based on John Travolta's appearance at the Oscars.
I'm going to John Travolta all your names. For Kevin Ryder, Kelvin Rizzied. For Lisa May, Leona Morfay, Dean Baxter, Brian Baffer, Ralph Garman, Roan Grizzin, Beer Mug, Gum Douchebag.
Well, that was clear. That last one was clear. That's odd. That is well really done. Strange. I didn't realize I won an Oscar.
Hi, I just wanted to congratulate Kevin Ryder on his amazing Oscar win for the song Just Let It Go, Let It Go.
You were ahead of your time with Just Let It Go, man.
Thank you.
Beans a dick. Beans a dick. Beans a dick.
I would suggest that when you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, not everything we say is serious. Maybe double check any fact you hear here.
Wow, it is pouring and I am driving home. Good thing I'm using your advice and going as fast as I possibly can right now. Trying to get out of this rain. Being like crazy, but that's what I'm supposed to do, right? Wow, it came out of nowhere. Use your eyes, asshole.
Well done.
I just saw a barbershop sign with a dummy model hanging on, and because of the rain, they put a raincoat on her.
I don't.
Yep. That happened. Okay. A lot of people seem to have trouble driving in the rain.
It's just rain. Rain comes, and people in California act like it's a goddamn tsunami, hurricane, typhoon, fucking thing. It's just rain. Deal with it. Drive.
What's your point, sir?
I'm not sure I understand either. This girl sure needs some help.
Somebody. Please bring me some toilet paper.
She's still in there.
Someone! Toilet paper! Please.
At some point, you're just going to have to buck it up and just walk out.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. The Academy Awards were this past weekend, and I didn't think there was any controversy over 12 Years a Slave winning Best Picture. I mean, a lot of people really love that movie. Maybe you were rooting for Gravity or you would have preferred American Hustle to take it. But in general, I think a lot of people thought that was a strong movie and they understood why it won.
I saw that movie. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there's one person who disagrees, Kevin, and it doesn't matter whether you've seen the movie or not. Rush Limbaugh came on the radio Monday and said that the only reason that movie won is because Hollywood is full of liberals and they wanted to appear politically correct by giving the award to a movie that has the word slave in the title.
Really?
No way.
He says it was always going to win Best Picture. There was no way. It didn't matter if it was good or bad. I haven't seen it, but there was no way it would lose. It had the magic word in the title, slave.
I'm sorry. Let's just go. But you lost me and I haven't seen it.
But isn't the point that it's a really good movie, right?
Well, not to Rush.
I guess not to Rush. Well, we wanted to find out more about this theory. Is there something that we're missing about this? Because I thought they voted for it because it was excellent filmmaking, but maybe we're wrong. Rush Limbaugh joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Rush.
My friends, you choose to live with your heads in the sand.
Yeah, well, let me just ask the first question is you didn't see the movie.
Of course not.
Well, then how can you make a pronouncement like that?
My point is whether it was good or bad, whether you've seen it or not, there was no way. No way that the liberal elite of Hollywood was not going to give the Best Picture Award to a movie with the word slave in it. The magic word slave.
Okay, but what if it's a great movie and the Academy voted for it because they want to reward that kind of outstanding screenplay and actors and acting and directing and it's just an all-around great film?
There were a lot of great films this year, my friends.
Right.
A lot of great films. But due to the fact that they did not have the word slave in the title, there was no way they were going to win.
That's absurd.
Not at all. Let's look at the other nominees, shall we?
Okay.
American Hustle.
Right.
No way a film with American in it was going to win. Because as we know, Hollywood hates America.
American Beauty won the best Oscar a few years ago?
That was different.
Because?
Okay.
Because that had a slave in it.
Oh. I don't remember that, but okay.
You didn't see that one either, did you, Rush?
Of course I didn't see it.
Okay.
But I remember that scene where the slaves rolling around all the rose petals.
No, that was a slave. That was not a slave.
That was Mina Suvari.
Her job was to pick rose petals for the plantation owner.
That's just...
I'm not mistaken.
Maybe you should watch these movies.
Captain Phillips?
Right.
Hollywood hates the military. There's no way a film with Captain in it was going to win Best Picture.
Okay, he was just captain of a fishing boat or something. I mean, he wasn't in the military. This isn't an Afghanistan film or anything.
Dallas, a Buyers Club?
Yeah.
Dallas,
yeah.
A movie that takes place in Dallas. Of course, a stronghold of a Republican right-wing, right-thinking. There's no way Dallas was going to be rewarded with an award that night, my friends. No
well,
way.
They won Best...
Buyers Club. Buyers Club indicates capitalism. And you know how Hollywood is communist.
Right, but they won Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor both came from Dallas Buyers Club. That movie was well rewarded.
Apples and oranges, my friends. We're talking Best Picture here.
Okay.
Well, it didn't win Best Picture. You're right about that.
It did not win Best Picture because of the capitalist and, of course, the southwestern nature of the title.
Okay.
And we are communists. Is that what I heard? We're communists now?
The film industry is notoriously communist.
Communist. Okay, gotcha, Rush.
Gravity.
Now, what's your complaint about that?
Gravity, of course, makes you think of the law of gravity.
Right.
And Hollywood hates laws.
What are you talking
about? All things legal.
Not even you believe that.
They hate the Second Amendment. They hate the First Amendment.
What is...
They hate laws, like the law of gravity. There's no way they would ever vote for the law of gravity.
I'm pretty sure no one is against the law of gravity.
Her?
Yes, her.
Her, of course, had no chance of winning.
Why?
Because it wasn't called Him and Him.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't pushing the gay agenda?
Him and Him pushing the gay agenda. If the operating system that Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with had been a male operating system, then I'm sure it would have had a chance to win Best Picture.
I see.
But not with opposite sex relationship between an operating system and a man.
Is it possible that you're exaggerating the liberal elite a bit?
Remember, it was Adam an operating system, not Steve an operating system.
That is what it said in the Bible. That's true.
Nebraska. No chance Nebraska was going to win. Once again, the heartland. Hollywood hates the heartland.
Okay.
Philomena.
Philomena. That was a great movie, too.
Philomena.
Right?
Philomena.
Right?
Right?
I have no idea what goddamn Philomena's about. So I can't even understand that word. I have no idea. But The Wolf of Wall Street.
The Wolf of Wall Street. Okay.
Wall Street, my friends.
Right.
Do you think for a moment that the liberal elite of Hollywood would recognize Wall Street in a title?
Well, it did not make Wall Street look good.
No, it did not, my friends. Of course it didn't, because they hate all things capitalism. They hate anything that makes money, that makes this country great, my friends.
Hmm.
But if you need more proof, look over the past Best Picture winners for the past 50 years or so. All with Slave in the title. 2011, The Slave Artist. Remember when that one about the silent film about that slave artist?
No, that was just called The Artist. I don't know what you're talking about.
The slave speech about that slave who had a
stutter. That was the King's speech. What's wrong with you?
What about the Hurt Slave Locker?
There's no doubt.
Where they kept the slaves in those lockers?
That's not the case.
Remember Slave Dog Millionaire?
Slumdog Millionaire.
That won in 2008. No Country for Old Slaves.
Oh,
that won in 2007.
Rush, you've got to see some of these movies.
And 2007 is not a year.
Million-dollar slavey?
No.
Remember that one?
No, that's absurd.
You're Lord of the Slaves, Return of the Slave King?
What's wrong with you?
And of course, in 2000, Slaviator. Russell Crowe played a slave.
There was no movie called Slaviator.
Forced to fight in the ring as a slave, Slaviator won that year.
Oh, Rush.
Once again, facts don't lie, my friends. Facts don't lie, and neither does OxyContin.
OxyContin
doesn't lie either.
I see.
I've had about a half a bottle of these babies, and I'm telling you something that makes the world a lot clearer.
Billy Connolly joins us after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show, a real comedy legend. So is Adam Carolla, who's on the phone with us right now, taping his live podcast show at the Hollywood Improv this weekend, Saturday night. Two big shows at 8 and 10. Tickets just $25, available through adamcarolla.com. See Adam this weekend. And then join Adam along with us, Kevin and Bean, and Mark Maron. This is the Carolla Podcast Legal Defense Fund Benefit Show. It's going to be happening at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. That is going to be so much fun. That's coming up on Thursday night, March 27th at 8. Again, get all the details at adamcarolla.com. The Ace Man joins us every week at this time for a feature we like to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, thank you, Kevin and Bean. Started three, worked my way up to number one. I'm going an all dentistry
all dentistry
week in
okay.
Rage.
All right.
I picked a theme. I got my teeth cleaned last week, and I have many suggestions / gripes for the industry.
Okay.
First, one I brought up 15 years ago, still has not been remedied, the freezing cold mountain stream water they spray on your super sensitive gums and teeth after they're done raping them.
Yeah.
There's something called an inline water heater. It warms water, so it's more let's just expand this. You know when you get in the shower, there's two knobs?
Right.
And one of them produces warm water, so it's not painful
right.
when you climb into the freezing cold water?
Right.
Apply that times 10 to my teeth. And I get the number one answer is the worst thing. So 15 years ago, I said to the guy, you know, they ought to invent an inline water heater so the water's warm when it goes on your teeth so it would be more comfortable. And he gave the worst answer you could ever give, which is, oh, they got those, which I hate. And then the next one, now, smash cut to last week, I say to the chick, you know they have those inline water heaters. You guys, and she cuts me off. She goes, every time the guy's in here, he tries to sell us one. Shrewd. Woo! I'm so much more comfortable now. Also, got this choice. It's my favorite choice. Every time when it comes to the cleaning part, you get your choice. You want the spearmint, you want the wild cherry,
right.
or the pina colada.
Right.
In which case, I always go, who wants pina colada? And they go, hey, a lot of people like pina colada. Yeah, I like pina coladas too, but if you remove the rum and added sand instead, I don't think I would enjoy it as much. I'm crazy that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just take all the rum out and enter a bunch of diatomaceous earth, and then we'll see how much you enjoy your pina colada.
Okay.
I'll bet you would send it back if you were at a beach resort, and instead of pouring Dark Myers rum in there, they just took sand from the beach. I bet you would send it back. And by the way, you know, then they do this thing where it's like, well, it's for the kids. What kind of mess is this for the kids? Here's an alcoholic beverage we should rub on your teeth when you're 9. So later on, before you get it from the frat guys in the van, you'll have a good idea of what this stuff tastes like.
Yeah, that's confusing.
Just make it toothpaste flavored.
All
I
right.
think we can all agree on that.
All
right. Kids will not be shocked by that. And then there's this one. They, when they're done cleaning your teeth, it is one of these things, I've never felt like a bigger shot, but they then floss your teeth for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is a weird thing, because you lay on a chair while somebody you don't know, who seems like one of your mom's friends from high school, goes at your mouth with both hands.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know if I should lightly stroke her back while she's doing this. I should pull out a 20. If anyone deserves a tip, I do feel like I can floss when I get home.
Right.
You've given me a lecture on flossing. And by the way, and then the dentist comes in, shines a flashlight in your mouth, pokes around with that mirror and does the, how's the flossing going? And by the way, you know how the flossing is going.
It is.
You're inside of my mouth.
Absolutely.
You tell me. You don't need to ask me. You're inside my mouth. And last but not least, number one, I think, has this ever happened? And it must have happened. You know, they give you the lead vest, and then the chick does the shoulder roll, jumps out of the room,
right.
hits the radioactive
X-ray, yeah, X-ray,
stuff,
right.
gives you the X-ray. Somebody at some point in history must have shot up a dentist office, and somebody was saved because they were wearing a lead vest.
I don't know how to check that, but okay.
Well, look, people shoot up workplaces all the time. They shoot up post offices all the time. If you were asked me if I was going to shoot up a place, it would be a dentist office. I mean, the first 5 places on my list would be dentist office. Well, you don't even have to be a disgruntled employee. You just got pina colada sand up your ass. You're going to shoot up a dentist office. I'm saying at some point somebody shot up a dentist office, and there's a guy laying there with a lead bib on, and he's lived to tell the tale.
Well, it's possible, I guess.
It had
being statistically, it had to have happened at least once.
We're not arguing with you. We just are unaware of
Look,
that.
Look, I got a screenplay to work on.
Okay.
Lone survivor. Last man reclined.
I like it. Hey, AdamCarolla.com is where you want to go for all the information about the upcoming appearances, including the live podcast taping at Hollywood Improv. That's this Saturday night, and we're very excited, Adam. Thanks again for inviting us to join you and Mark Maron on stage for the podcast Defense Fund. That's going to be on March 27th. Tickets are available on that. Go to fundanything.com/patentroll to find out what that is all about. It'll blow your mind. Ace Man, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a 5-pair of tickets for that show, as a matter of fact. 1-800.
What?
Yep. 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to see Mark Maron, Kevin and Bean, and Adam Carolla, you can do that right now, and good luck. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
So, Ralph, you've been hanging out with your comedy hero, Billy Connolly, the last
few
minutes?
I was in the office there talking to Billy, and I'm happy to report he is charming and warm and friendly.
Did you embarrass us?
Not yet.
Okay.
But the morning is young.
Dave says, I don't know what he's saying. I can't understand a word that comes out of his mouth. We're like, welcome to our lives talking to you, Dave.
You know why? Because he's speaking English.
And that's
so,
right.
So Dave is confused by that language.
Well, Billy Connolly is in town. He's doing some shows at the Montalban Theater in Los Angeles coming up this weekend, I guess, March 7th and 8th. Yeah. We'll talk all about that and catch up with Mr. Connolly when he joins us in studio after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
I'm going to be there Saturday night, by the way.
Are you?
I will be in the audience, yes. No way I would miss that. I was telling Billy, I was front row at a show. He did a series of shows at the Wadsworth Theater in Brentwood.
Tiny place, isn't
years
it?
Ago. Not a big theater, yeah, but great place to see comedy.
Were you blowing him kisses?
I was throughout, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he took pity on me. had security not escort me out of the theater.
That's nice.
But it was one of the funniest evenings I've had in my life. I remember laughing so hard I could barely breathe. So I can't wait for Saturday. Looking forward to it.
See Ralph in the front row holding up his phone number. Billy, call me. Seriously, let's hang out.
At the end, at the end of the ovation, Billy actually came to the edge of the stage and shook my hand before he walked upstage.
Oh, wow. He must have thought you were a Make-A-Wish kid.
I think he did. I think he took pity on me, thinking I was some sort of, I was mental. And he thought, oh, this poor brain-damaged child came to see me in my show. And so I'll always remember that moment. So.
That's funny.
All right, let's talk about show business news. John Travolta became the laughingstock at Sunday night's Academy Awards when he mispronounced Idina Menzel's name. Of course, he called her. Well, let's play the clip.
The wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Yeah, the one and only Adele Dazeem. Very different from Idina Menzel. Although many of the same letters.
True.
Are contained in both.
It's just a word
names.
Jumble.
He released the following written statement. I've been beating myself up all day. Then I thought, what would Idina Menzel say? She'd say, let it go, because that's the name
just
of the song.
Just let it go.
Right. That's what she would say.
That's good advice.
That's the name of the song she sang at the Oscars.
That is the name of the song, yeah.
Idina is incredibly talented, and I am so happy Frozen took home two Oscars Sunday night. You know, that's a perfectly cheesy, publicist-penned statement to make, but it doesn't answer the question for any of us are asking, goods, what the hell happened?
What happened, right?
Well, I don't think anyone knows. I mean, you could ask me the same question for everyone, and I don't have any idea.
But he would know.
No, he wouldn't.
Why not?
Because it was a complete just disaster.
But he could shed light on it by saying, I couldn't read the teleprompter,
right. I got confused.
Yeah.
I low blood sugar. Something. Give us something.
You know, somebody suggested online yesterday, I don't know if there's any truth to this, that he's dyslexic and that was a legitimate reading problem from a dyslexic person.
But Scientology cures you of dyslexia.
Mm. Oh, so he can't be dyslexic.
So he can't admit he has dyslexia.
Gotcha.
Because
Tom Cruise famously said he had it, and then the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard purged him of that illness. So how do you say misunderstood word, you know?
Yeah.
The wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
All I would say is the man has memorized scripts of dialogue for movies.
Yeah.
If he can't read, then have someone whisper in your ear what the hell her name is. You got one freaking job at the Oscars. That's to say Idina Menzel. All the wickedly, all the stuff before the Idina Menzel part, that all can go. The only thing you have to get out is point in a general direction of where that woman is standing
right. And
say, Idina Menzel.
I'm not jumping on this bandwagon because I do this all the time, so I feel bad for him.
But at least you know why. You know that you're mentally ill.
You know that you have brain damage.
Right.
And if you had a release statement, you would say, I apologize. Right. I have brain damage, and that's why I'm not good at doing that. At least we would have an answer from you.
The wickedly talented one and only
Adel Dazeem.
Travolta's walking around pretending to the rest of us like he's functional.
That's right. We know better. If someone doesn't name their band Adel Dazeem, they're missing out.
Yep.
That's all I've got to say. While we're talking about the Oscars, Jared Leto, who of course won the Best Supporting Actor on Sunday night for his work in Dallas Buyers Club, has announced he's hitting the road again with his band 30 Seconds to Mars. This is quite the lineup. They're going to be co-headlining with Linkin Park. They're calling it the Carnivores Tour, with AFI opening all of the shows. Wow. That's quite
a lineup. That has to drive Davey crazy being a vegan and be out on something called the Carnivores Tour.
Yeah. 25-date run begins August 8th in West Palm Beach, Florida, and then wraps up on September the 19th in Concord, California. There will be a date here in L.A. at the Hollywood Bowl on September the 15th. So if you're a fan of those three bands, you're going to want to get your tickets when they go on sale.
How could you not be a fan of one of those three bands?
Well, it's a great evening of music.
Let alone all three.
Right. The hits alone of those three bands would make for a great evening. It's funny, I was talking to Billy in the other room. We were talking about the fact that he used to open for rock bands, as many comedians did in the 70s.
That's a strange thing.
Which is a bad mix.
Yeah, because I've never known that to happen. It's just not a deal. But Bobcat Goldthwait opened for Nirvana.
Remember he told us that? Billy used to open for Elton John.
Wow.
And apparently he was met with a less than enthusiastic reception by Elton John.
You know what it is, he's not Elton John.
I think that would be the most disappointing part.
And that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea.
And it's a bad mix. I think comedy and music aren't necessarily a good match.
No.
If you're going in with the mind frame as I'm going to listen to music all night, and then some guy starts telling you jokes.
Yeah.
Disappointment abounds.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Dean Stockwell, 78 years old today. Speaking of music, singer Eddie Grant is 66 years old.
Oh, we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher.
So the least Rastafari name for any guy with dreads in the history of music, right? Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Grant. You expect like a country and western guy to come out in a big 10-gallon hat and a big belt buckle.
It's true.
We're going to walk down to Electric Avenue. That's what he should sound like. Comedian and magician Penn Jillette is 59 years old today. Singer John Frusciante. Singer. Guitarist John Frusciante, from formerly of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is 44. Kevin Connolly is 40 years old. Eva Mendez and Nikki Taylor both celebrate their 39th birthday. And since our upcoming guest, Billy Connolly, is a proud Scot, I think it's only appropriate that we pay homage to Craig and Charlie Reed, the Reed twins of the Proclaimers.
But I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500 more to be the man who walks 1,000 miles
before the next year door.
When I hear
my favorite lyric.
When I haver,
you know I'm going to be havering just for you. And I was like, what's havering?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
That's a throwing up.
Oh, okay.
That's a romantic song.
All right, I'm going to need translation into that song.
The Reed Brothers are 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Britain's Channel 5 on New Year's Eve last year counted down the top 100 stand-up comedians in the world today. And our next guest was at number one on that list. That seems suspect to me, but let's let him defend himself. Billy Connolly joins us in studio right now on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Mr. Connolly. How are you, sir?
How you doing, man?
It's a real pleasure to have you. You are going to be in town playing the Montalban Theater in Los Angeles this weekend, Thursday and Friday night. I guess that's tomorrow night and Friday night. Is that right?
Friday and Saturday.
I apologize. I got the wrong info here. And you're only doing four U.S. dates and wisely choosing just the West Coast here in the dead of winter. Well done with that planning.
Absolutely.
He's not a fool.
Oh, God.
Although you live in New York now, right?
Yeah, so cold.
Oh, it's been a rough winter.
Oh, it's been hellish.
Why are you only doing four dates?
I have absolutely no idea.
Are you not in charge of it?
Four dates.
I just do as I'm told.
Okay.
Now, you lived in Southern California for many, many years, right, Billy?
15 years.
Do you miss it at all?
The funniest thing is, when I come here, I don't remember living here. It doesn't have anything close to me. Although I did love it when I lived here. I used to call myself the guy who likes L.A. You know how everybody, comedians come to L.A. and tell you what they don't like about it?
Right.
Yeah. I remember it being a wonderful place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was sold on it the day I was going to work at Warner Brothers. And Jesus came the opposite way. Walking the other way on the road with a big crucifix with a little wheel on it.
Right.
So it didn't wear out.
And you were like, I'm in.
I thought, oh, I like this place. This will do me.
Did you thought you reached the Holy Land? Is that what
I'm
was?
Among friends.
So that's interesting. So you lived in L.A. for 15 years, and when you come back, you are happy to be here, but it's not like you have that yearning for... It was never home for you.
I don't have that yearning at all. I thought I would because I loved it, as I say.
Mm-hmm. But, right.
And I still go down to the cigar store and see my old friends and have a laugh and everything.
Your wife, Pamela, had a practice here for a while, didn't
she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a psychologist.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She must be just full up just with you.
Yeah, she's a sex therapist. it's extraordinary. She didn't bring any work home or anything like that.
That's too bad.
But I used to, when I was going to the bathroom, I would have a look at one of her books. The house is full of books, you know. So I like something to read in the bathroom. I would always take one of her books in. And the result was I felt very plain sexually. You know?
Right.
Everybody's really exotic. There's guys doing it to trees.
Did you try and incorporate trees into the bedroom?
Nobody would believe you. There's even guys who bore a little hole in the ground and have a go
at
shagging the world. You know?
Do you think you're disappointing your wife by being sort of vanilla in the bedroom?
Was no, I just became an ordinary working stiff. You know?
You mentioned something interesting as the song was running on. This is the voice of Billy Connolly here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can go to BillyConnolly.com or Ticketmaster.com to see him at the Montauban this weekend. You were talking about your love for motorcycles and your friends that you've known for a long, long time. You guys ride motorcycles. I was curious, is there a motorcycle culture in Scotland the way there is in the United States?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, it all started with Marlon Brando and The Wild One, I think the movie was called. And it just took off from there when people rode Triumphs and BSAs and Nortons and things like that before the big Japanese invasion of Honda and Suzuki and stuff. And it was just kind of leather jackets and chains and all that kind of stuff. Although in modern times they wear those racing, one-piece racing suits, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I prefer the Bronx jacket, you know, the original motorcycle.
Now, are you the kind of guy who will hop on a bike and just hit the road and go for 4 or 5 days and just go 1,000 miles just for the fun of it?
I used to do that, but I don't really do it anymore. It's kind of painful now.
Your kidneys rattling around inside of you.
Yeah, and I love trikes, you know. I really like trikes. It's got a cross between a motorcycle and a hot rod, you know.
Right.
And it's got none of the advantages of a motorcycle and none of the advantages of a car.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's got all the disadvantages of a motorcycle and none of the advantages of a car.
Well,
I have a 5-CD player and I can hardly hear it. You know? I have to whack it up to get a bit of ZZ Top. And I have to have it so loud that you can through villages and scaring the children. Windows are breaking, people's alarms go off.
Do you have a large collection of bikes and trikes and toys?
No, I have two.
Two?
Yeah.
That's not much of a collection.
No, but I'm never there. They're in Scotland.
Oh, they're in Scotland. Oh, I see. Gotcha. Are you a guy, are you mechanical as well? Can you work on them, fix them,
No,
them?
I'm lousy.
Lousy at that, too.
Okay. Terrible, yeah. I get
so what is it about the bikes that you love, then?
I don't know. I just remember when I first got one, the freedom that it gave me.
Just feel free.
I've never lost it. There's a great deal of freedom attached to it, you know, the wind and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely.
The danger never scared you at all? The danger of riding a bike? Because I know you had a pretty bad spill while you were doing that Route 66 film.
Yeah, but there's plenty of danger driving a car, you know?
Yeah, but I'm surrounded by 2 tons of metal. It's not just me and the asphalt if I go over.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've never given it a second thought.
That's good.
You don't get the best out of it if you're thinking of the worst of it.
Well, you have
time.
To consider it once. No?
No, you might.
I'm saying... You have to consider the downside of what you're doing at least once.
No, you don't.
All right. Okay. A little fear is healthy, I think, Billy.
A little paranoia is healthy.
That's right. Yes.
How much time do you spend in Scotland now?
Well, it depends, really, on any given year. It depends on what else I'm doing. But I have Christmas and New Year there, and I try to get the month of August, usually.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, when they move away from their home, you know, hometown or home country, then they come back many years later, and it just doesn't feel the same. It's not like going home because it's changed so much. Is that the case in Scotland, or is it still very much like when you grew up there?
Well, it is, because I left in my 30s, I think I was, when I first left, and I'm 71 now, so it's been 40 years.
So more time away from there than living there.
Absolutely. And so what I find was that when I go to my hometown, Glasgow, I'm a kind of stranger. All the restaurants have changed, and the pubs, the people go to different places, they're more popular. So I feel like a tourist in my own hometown.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
But you're also sort of a hero in Glasgow. Are you just besieged by people when you go back, and well-wishers and photographs and autographs and all that stuff?
Yeah, all the time. I'm like bloody Elvis.
You have streets named after you and buildings and just all sorts of crazy stuff.
I have a kind of statue thing.
You have a statue.
Oh, wow.
So it's not a statue. I don't know what you would call it. It's a metal structure on the side of a building where I was born. It's 20 feet high.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And it's me metal playing the banjo. And it overlooks one of the highways in Glasgow. It's really terrific.
That's weird. That would be weird to see myself up on there.
Yeah, it is. It's strange.
Wow. We're going to have to take a break here in a minute. Billy Connolly in studio with us. You want to tell us a little bit about what the show is like on Friday and Saturday night? Is this some material that you've toured with before, or is it just off the top of your head, or you have something specific you want to do this weekend? What's going on?
Are you asking me?
Yeah,
it's but I don't write, you know, I don't write off stage. I do new things with my old stuff on stage, but I've been sick. In the last year, I got cancer and I also got Parkinson's disease.
I'll
be talking about that.
Well, that sounds like an upper.
That should really cheer them up.
That sounds funny.
Good time at the theater.
All right. Well, the man knows.
And
how
I just
to
did
a
television series,
you know,
on death.
He just did a television series on death called The Big Send Off, where he's planning his own funeral.
And okay, Billy, what's going on? Come on, stay with us.
It's just a good subject.
Sure. What's funnier?
Comedians are macabre, anyway.
Billy Connolly is here. We'll be right back.
Actor, musician, TV host, artist, stand-up comedian Billy Connolly in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. BillyConnolly.com or Ticketmaster.com to see him this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, March 7th and 8th at the Montalban Theater in Los Angeles. Mr. Connolly, you've been doing a little bit more acting, it seems like. We just saw you in the Hobbit movies. Has that been a hobby for you, or has that been acting along with comedy something that is a passion for you?
It's a kind of passion. I've been doing it for a few years. As a matter of fact, my first film I did had Richard Burton in it.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was many years ago, but I've been doing it over the years quite successfully. In as much as they've been good films, they haven't like raked in fortunes or won Oscars or anything, but they've been very good films.
You've been in a lot of good movies, yeah.
You've always received really good notices for your work, for the most part.
Absolutely.
Mrs. Brown, of course, was a big hit, and you got a lot of claim for that.
Boondock Saints gets me a lot of recognition.
Sure. Don't you have Gulliver's Travels coming up?
Gulliver's Travels, that's been and gone.
Yeah, been and gone.
Yeah. It's been lovely. And I just did one directed by Dustin Hoffman called Quartet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. You were in Quartet. That's right. Yes. That's right. Wow. Boy, I mean, it's just, you know, we always marvel when we have a guy like you, a Renaissance man like you who comes in. You know, so many people are so lucky to be good at one thing, but to be as good as you are at stand-up, to have had such a successful music career, and also to be acting as much as you have, I mean, it's just, it's a kind of an embarrassment of riches, Billy.
Well, it's just luck. A lot of people are good at lots of things, but they don't get openings to show anybody. Like, for instance, I never drew in my life, and then I was in Montreal about 10 years ago. I bought a little pad and some felt-tip pens and started to try and learn, and then I have exhibitions now.
You do?
But it's because I'm Billy Connolly, you know. if you're Harry McFarlane, nobody's going to give a toss.
Are your drawings good? Do you consider them good?
I like them, yeah.
All right.
What I like about them is I think they're getting better.
Okay, all right.
Well, I guess success in one avenue tends to lead to another, right? Because it was your work on stage as a musician that led you into stand-up comedy.
That's right, yeah.
And then probably that led to acting and so forth and so forth.
And it was a desire not to be a welder.
All right. that's a motivating factor as well.
Good enough.
Although I must say it was good fun being a welder, you know, but
In retrospect.
Yeah.
But not while you're doing it, probably.
Not while you're doing it, right.
No, but I was just on Pete Seeger's death there. I just remembered that he changed my life. You know, while I was a welder, I went to see him in Glasgow. And I thought, God, I must do that. I must do that now.
Did you play banjo at the time, or
no,
did you learn?
No, I went and bought one.
That's when you learned?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
What's up with you? You just keep learning stuff. Huh? You just pick
he's
up a banjo.
He's the anti-Kevin.
Well, what you must do is stop listening to people. Most people who give you advice are talking garbage. You know, people who put time limits on things and say, you've left it too late to learn. And a lot of people say, I'd love to play an instrument. You say, buy one, sit down, give it 15 minutes a day. And, mm-hmm. and within 6 months, you'll be able to accompany yourself. And you won't be Eric Clapton. But then nobody is except Eric Clapton.
That's true.
A friend of mine says, don't surround yourself with people who ask why. Find the people who say, why not?
Absolutely.
Now, early in your comedy career, Ralph was telling us before you came in that you used to open for music acts, for Elton John specifically.
Uh-huh.
That had to be a nightmare.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely dreadful.
How long did you do? Like, did you do 15 minutes before he came out, or a half hour?
Yeah, about 15 minutes. I was supposed to be half an hour, but I got about 15 minutes dodging frisbees.
Did you get hit with a pipe once?
Yeah, I got hit with a pipe.
What?
It was a pipe, a smoking pipe. Someone was giving me a hit and threw it up and it hit me between the eyes.
Somebody's mad enough to let go of their pipe.
That was a nightmare.
And this was because, if I remember correctly, this was just because Elton John was such a big fan of yours, right? That he wanted to help break you in America, so he invited you to tour here, right?
I think he just wanted to see me being tortured.
Yeah. Sit on the side and laugh.
So they were, ladies and gentlemen, Elton, his friend.
Billy was part of Comic Relief for all those years. He was on stage at Live Aid doing comedy. I mean, you've been, you've done some crazy stuff. Do you follow comedy much? Other comedians now, Billy?
No, I don't. I find I steal stuff when I do that.
Accidentally, you mean?
Yes. About a year later, I think it's my idea. It pops into my head. So I try to avoid. I've never been accused of stealing, but I've found myself out.
You sort of discovered that you stole it from somebody else?
Well, that doesn't feel like mine.
I'm not even black. Where did that joke come from?
So, God knows I've tried.
So you'll go out on stage at the Montalban this weekend. You're putting an act together. Like you said, you're just kind of at the start of it after being off the road for a while. And you'll just talk about what's going on in your life and be able to find funny things that are your perspective on even bad things going on in your life is going to end up being funny.
Yeah, the comedy's based on bad things, I think.
But usually it's other people going through bad things, not so much ourselves when we're laughing at it.
No, but we do find, even for this show, if things go terribly wrong, it's awesome. Like, everybody loves the fact that stuff goes terribly wrong, and you can use it for comedy.
It always goes well. It's lovely.
Now, it's been a while since you've been on stage. Do you just get up on stage and it's just normal, or...?
Well, I get very nervous.
It seems to be getting
more nervous as the years go by.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think?
I've absolutely no idea. God knows I've looked into it, but I haven't a clue. But there's something happens between your name being, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Billy Connolly, and that walk to the microphone. Something psychologically changes in you, and you becomes the nervousness becomes an excitement, and off you fly.
And then you're fine.
I once spoke to the guitarist Paco Peña, and he said he's never heard his second name announced. He has a whiskey. And the guy goes, ladies and gentlemen, Paco. And then out he goes, but I don't think that would suit me.
You talked about discussing Parkinson's on stage. And is it true I heard that you were diagnosed in the lobby of a hotel? That's how you found out?
Yeah, the Sportsman's Lodge in L.A.
What? That's a what?
Yeah, I was doing the Conan O'Brien show, as I did last night.
Okay.
I was telling him last night on the show, and they booked me in the hotel, and I always liked that hotel because John Wayne used to go there to play chess.
Okay.
it's a lousy reason for choosing the hotel.
That's what I look for in a hotel. That's how I choose accommodations on the road.
Tell me where the Duke played games. That's strange.
Lovely old photographs of cowboys and all that.
And but it was prostate cancer, so you weren't getting a colonoscopy in the lobby, were you?
No, it was Parkinson's.
I'm sorry. We're Parkinson's.
Pay attention,
okay.
Bean. Come on.
Sorry.
Yeah, a list of my ailments. And,
Why the lobby? How
I was
the lobby?
Walking through. It's a big lobby, and there was always this crowd of kids there, teenagers, and an older couple of guys. And I was walking through, and one of the older guys came over, and he said, "Excuse me, Mr. Connolly, I'm a big fan and all that." He said, "But I'm a doctor from Tasmania, Australia." He said, "I'm a surgeon."
Right.
He said, "And I've been watching you walking back and forth." He said, "And I can tell by your gait, by your walk." He said, "Do you look as if you have early onset Parkinson's disease?"
Really?
See your doctor.
And you did, and you do?
I did, and I had, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That guy's a genius.
Absolutely.
Well, he was watching you walk pretty closely, too. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, when you're hanging out in the hotel lobby with a dance troupe, you'll be watching the way people walk, okay? I can tell by your gait you're an attractive man. Oh, do you have the walk? Do you have the talk? Could you come to my room? Could you give me a phone call? See if you have the talk as well as the walk.
What is your prognosis, Mr. Connolly, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm going to die very soon.
Well, I withdraw the question.
He needs to walk back through the lobby of the hotel to get a second opinion.
That's right.
I have no idea. I tend not to pay anything.
Good.
You know, just wait and see. Little surprises.
Well, you seem to be enjoying your life. You seem to be a guy who gets a lot out of every day, though. And that's a good recipe, I think,
yeah,
for however much time you have.
When it was found I had prostate cancer, the doctor says, "Well, first of all, you're not going to die." And it shocked me. I thought, of course I'm not going to. It never crossed my mind.
How does it not cross your mind?
Yeah.
You're weird. How does you have cancer not mean you might die?
No, because I fully intend to live forever.
Well, sure, we all are, but that's not going to happen.
You have your problems, I have mine.
Again, Kevin, why are you a quitter?
That's why I'm so ravishingly handsome.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, someone showed me a picture last night on the Conan show of Richard Gere.
Yes.
In his new movie. He's the living image of me.
Yes. I had not noticed that.
I didn't notice that either.
Yeah, he has shoulder-length white hair and a beard. When they showed me.
He wants to look more like you. He's often said that.
God, I'd never thought Richard Gere would copy me. I was slaved to look like him. The money I've spent on Braille cream. The money I've squandered in hair gel.
You mentioned your friend Elton John. You mentioned doing the movie with Richard Burton. Are there other legends that you got to spend significant time with back in the day? Maybe back in the drinking days that were really your mates that you have stories about?
I don't have many stories about it. And if I had, I wouldn't tell you. I met Bob Dylan a few times, and that was a heart stopper.
Because you were such a big fan, you mean? It was a big deal for you?
Yes. And it was at Blackbush. It was an outdoor concert at an aerodrome just outside London. And I was watching Eric Clapton on stage, and Bob Dylan came up onto the stage and stood beside me.
What?
In the wings, you know.
Yeah.
And he was talking to me, and I wasn't saying anything because I thought he looked as if he thought he knew me.
Right.
But I thought, as soon as I speak, he'll know. He doesn't know me.
It'll ruin the whole thing.
So he must have thought I was a real ignoramus. I've gone,
Never talking to that guy again.
But the biggest star I ever met was Earl Scruggs, the banjo player.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Legend.
Yeah, to me, because I play the banjo and just...
Did you get to play with him?
No, Dwight Yoakam was getting a star on Hollywood Boulevard, and and Earl Scruggs turned up to see
him. You have the weirdest stories.
But you're a guy who hung out with Keith Moon and
Keith Richards
and Peter Cook and Dudley Moore and Cleese and the Pythons. I mean, those are massive stars, not
Keith
to you.
Moon died the day I met him.
Yeah.
We went to the Buddy Holly movie together in London. And then we went out at night with John Hurt and Keith Moon and me, and we proceeded to get merrily pissed.
Right.
And he wasn't drinking. And I went to Australia that night. In the morning, I put the news on the TV, and he was dead.
Wow. Were you ever investigated for that?
Is that why they call you Dr. Death?
Is that why you ran to Australia? Be honest.
And he died in the same house as Mama Cass.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, and it was it was somebody's whose house was it? It was Harry Nilsson's house, wasn't it?
Was it Harry's house?
Somebody like that who owned the house that both of them died in. So what a life, Billy Connolly.
It's an extraordinary life, yeah.
Have you written a book?
Yeah, my wife did one a couple of years ago. It sold a million in Britain. It was lovely.
Okay, all right.
I didn't do much here, but I'm kind of unknown here.
Well, I'm going to Amazon.com right now before you're out of the building, and I'm buying that book. That sounds great.
And Billy's wife also was a very funny comedian and actress herself before she got into
Yeah, she did a season on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. And a lot of us remember from Superman 3. She was one of the stars of that.
Yeah.
Wow. Been around a long time. What about that?
Well, I'm sad that our time is over, it's a great treat for our listeners to get a chance to see Billy Connolly on stage this weekend at the Montalban Theater in Los Angeles, Friday and Saturday night. Go to Ticketmaster.com or BillyConnolly.com. Such a thrill to have you in the studios today, sir.
Come
we really
and see me
it.
In Seattle.
I'll do it.
No, you won't, Bean. You never leave your house.
He's
I'll
kind do
of a
it.
Shut-in, Billy.
Well, I'll come and do it in your house.
There you go.
That might deal.
Work. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
You going to be okay, Ralph?
No.
Are you sad now?
Yes.
Yeah. You couldn't go with him? Did you hang onto his leg as he was trying to leave the door in the
building?
A guy
like that, you just say, I'm just going to sit here and you just start talking and
tell me all your stories.
And stop when you run out of air because I just want to I want to hear it all. What a fascinating life and a great guy and a funny man and just
very funny.
He's one of a kind. One of my favorites.
Yeah, that was
usually,
a lot of fun.
We usually take pictures after we have a guest in studio, and I got shoved out of the way.
Yeah, beat it.
Rose, like, one with just me.
Tell your story walking. No, don't ruin my Christmas card.
Yep, at least you got your Christmas card out of the way now. Sorry, wife and daughter.
That's right.
All right, it's 9:45 now. Ralph is here. One more look at the showbiz beat for today. What's going on?
Porn star Kim Kardashian, according to Star Magazine, has a set of rules fiancé Kanye West has laid down that she must follow at all times. Well, that sounds like a healthy relationship.
That is great. That's healthy.
What you look for. Why would anyone subject themselves to that?
Because
if someone came to me in my life and said, okay, we'll be together, but these are the rules, and you have to follow them.
Because she's a fame whore, and he allows her to have more fame than ever.
And maybe because she was raised that way, maybe her mother had that sort of influence over her that she enjoys having someone take the reins and just run the life.
There are people like that that like other people to run it, but this seems extreme.
Look, if your wife...
star, Kim Kardashian.
If your wife wasn't around to run your life, Kevin, where would you be? Where would you be?
I wouldn't know where I was.
No, you'd be in the alley somewhere behind a dumpster clutching a bottle of Manischewitz wine. I don't know why you'd pick that.
Why would I have that?
I don't know why you'd pick that.
It's a strange choice.
You're Jewish. That's why. here are the rules. She can't check her phone unless Kanye West says it's okay.
She just go, baby, can I check my Instagram? See how many people looked at my boob picture? No? Okay.
She can't talk to friends that Kanye believes may be selling stories about her to the tabloids.
Just if he believes it,
yeah.
They're out.
He gives him the stink eye. He's not sure about them. They're out. He gets to approve all pictures before she posts them on all social media. So before she tweets or Instagrams a photograph, he gets to put his stamp of approval on it.
Wow.
And he claims it's because he wants her to be in fashion. And he has to make sure she doesn't look horrible or unpresentable in any of the clothes that she's wearing. Her image to the public has to be one that is fashionable at all times.
Is that because he wants so badly to be in the fashion world and they're saying no?
Well, they won't let him. They won't let him. That's the problem. He's a creative genius.
Right.
They won't let him sell his leather jogging pants.
But didn't he get rid of all her clothes and replace them with all new clothes?
Yes, he did.
But that one that's made out of the couch still made the cut, though.
I know. Isn't
that weird?
Crazy? Speaking of which, she was desperate to get into the A-list party at the Vanity Fair after party for the Oscars. Radar Online says that she and Kanye were both very upset. She couldn't get an invitation. Kanye was welcome. She would not be allowed in because of her reality star status. The editor-in-chief of Vanity Fair, Graydon Carter, hosts the event. And according to insiders, he decided, told his staff he didn't want his fabulous event turning into a circus.
How long before Kanye dumps her because
she's holding him back?
Yeah, she's not helping him become this media mogul that he wants to be.
I don't think he thinks that way. I think he thinks he's going to pull her up.
Wow.
Plus, she wanted to come with the mother and the sisters too, which I guess was a problem as well.
Because
you know, Kris Jenner's not letting her get into the Vanity Fair party at the Oscars.
That's true.
Without her coming along.
That's true.
And it's sad too because Bruce Jenner was there. He was the hat check girl. he was giving out tickets for clothes.
It's good he got a gig.
Yeah. And Heidi Klum, still going strong with her new boyfriend, notorious ladies' man Vito Schnabel.
Oh, Schnabel.
Oh, Vito Schnabel. Sounds like a Bond villain. So, Vito Schnabel, we finally meet.
Yes, Mr. Bond. My laser is pointed to Washington, D.C. You'll never stop me.
Heidi Klum is still going strong in life, by the way.
Yeah, she's pretty spectacular.
She's awesome.
They've been together for 3 long weeks, and everything is going swell.
So far? Wow, that's amazing.
How have they kept it going? What's their secret?
Now, what is their secret? New York Daily News says they are getting very serious. This isn't just a fling. Heidi, by the way, just to keep in mind, is 40 years old. And Vito Schnabel is just 27 years old.
Mm. All right. Good for her.
I mean, he's had some very high-profile celebrity cougar romances before with the likes of Demi Moore and Liv Tyler. Hard to believe Liv Tyler's now a cougar. But, wow. Yeah, so this is very serious, and looks like Vito has found his one true cougar.
Lisa, no matter how pretty he is, would you ever date a 27-year-old?
Yes.
Fun date.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. That's the question.
Yeah.
Date. Would I entertain? Yes. Yes,
okay.
I would.
Okay. All right. Say no more.
Look, remember Lisa was married to that 100-year-old guy? Remember that?
That's right.
Yeah. She's earned
either
a little.
Way it works.
She has. A little 20-something action.
Because she's put in her time.
Just to make an average, just to get like a mean age of like middle age, she's got to go the other way. Balance the scales. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Dean Stockwell, 78 years old today. Penn Jillette turns 59. John Frusciante, guitarist formerly of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is 44 years old. Actor Kevin Connolly is 40. Everybody looking forward to that Entourage movie?
What?
Not even a little bit. Oh, come on now.
No.
Eva Mendez is 39.
Yep.
As is model Nikki Taylor.
Yep.
Jake Lloyd, little Anakin Skywalker from the Star Wars prequels, is 25 years old. He's all grown up.
I think he's at bars going, seriously, I was Anakin.
Look.
Go look again.
Watch. Well, I'll do this. Jar Jar Binks, what are we doing? See? Is that familiar? Anything? And singer Eddie Grant is 66 years old today. Hit it, Steve. Oh, no, we're gonna rock
down to Electric Avenue.
And then we'll take it higher. Yeah. Literally heard that whole song already.
It's just said over and over again, pretty much. Electric Avenue. And then
we'll take it higher.
Out in the country. Did he have any other hits? Did he have any other hits being you?
Yeah, he had Romancing the Stone.
That was a hit?
That was his song, yeah, Romancing the Stone.
How'd it go?
Too. Oh, I can't.
Come on.
I can't say.
Come on.
Are you thinking about when the going gets tough, the tough get going? That's
no, that was Billy Ocean.
Oh.
What is it?
And what's Romancing the Stone?
He had the theme song from Romancing the Stone. I don't remember how it goes, but that was played too. Isn't that my thinking of somebody
going
else?
Going Gets Tough, Get Going is from the movie Romancing the Stone.
I was thinking of Eddie.
But that's not Eddie Grant.
No, maybe not, though. Maybe that's
Billy
it.
Billy D. Williams. That's...
Did he have maybe a wooden hand? Did Eddie Grant have a wooden hand in Romancing the Stone?
Then I'm going to say, yeah, you're right. I guess that's it for Eddie Grant, then. Although I do know this this bit of chart trivia is that he was in a band called The Equals back in the 1960s, had one of the very first reggae hits
that doesn't
in the
do
world
it.
With a song called Baby Come Back back in the 1960s.
That doesn't do it.
But in terms of a solo artist, yeah, I think maybe you're right. I think Electric Avenue was it.
Yeah. Not helping Sam Rubin that you think Eddie Grant and Billy Ocean are the same guy, okay?
They're not.
That's all I'm saying.
One of them was in The Matrix, right?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Ryan Scheckler talking about Street League skateboarding coming back. We have Christian Larson, who is the director of the new Swedish House Mafia movie called Leave the World Behind. We have Dr. Drew, and we have Psycho Mike Catherwood also tomorrow morning. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock and at 5 o'clock p.m., you get your 3-day passes for Coachella.